It's time for Twit This Week in Tech. We're going to take a look at the big controversy over Lenovo's man-in-the-middle attack, the Apple Watch, what's really going on there. There's another conspiracy to talk about, and a whole lot more. A great panel ahead. So is Twit. Stay right here.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Twit, This Week in Tech, episode 498, recorded February 22nd, 2015. Super fishy. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Shutterstock.com, with over 48 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips. Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 20% off image subscription packages on your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code TWIT215. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, or other Apple product is worth at Gazelle.com. And by GoToMeeting, the powerfully simple way to meet with coworkers and clients from the convenience of your computer, smartphone, or tablet. Share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing. For a free 30-day trial, visit GoToMeeting.com today. And by Harry's, for guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to Harry's.com. Get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code TWIT5 when you check out. It's time for Twit This Week in Tech, our pre-Oscar red carpet show. Ladies and gentlemen, Christina Warren is here from Mashable. Hello, Christina.
Hello.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
I loved that story you told yesterday or Friday on TNT about your husband sharing a viral video with you and you saying, yeah, that we taped that at the Mashable offices. I was there. That's a sign, though, that your viral videos are working. They're fooling even your husband.
This is true. This is true. It also is a sign that Digg removes the YouTube branding that you put on.
Thanks,
Digg. So if you put your own custom bug on those videos and it goes on Digg.com, then the bug is no longer
there.
That's
terrible. How do they do that?
I don't know. I guess there's something with the embed code or something they do that they get the overlays turned off, but he had no idea. And it was really funny to me. I was like, yeah, that's a Mashable video, Grant. Thanks a lot for sharing that with me. Appreciate it.
And thank you, Digg, for removing it. Golly, that's terrible. Also here from Business Insider, Business Insider? Did I get that wrong?
Yep, you got it right.
Sometimes I don't know. Most of the time I don't know. Lisa Adachico, great to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
She's on drums today. Thank you very much. Also here from Taiwan, Ben Thompson of Stratechery. He's going to play keyboards for us a little later. We got a whole band here. Christina and I are going to fight over the cowbell, though. I don't know who gets the
cowbell. You can have the cowbell. I'll take a tambourine or something.
All right. Fair enough. Great to have you all here. We will get you off in time for the... In Taiwan, they're not watching the Oscars, though, right?
No, they're quite popular, actually.
Are they?
Yeah, they'll be on TV, so...
Not live.
Actually,
live would be 8 in the morning.
No, they'll be on live. Wow. Actually, they'll arguably be easier to watch than the Super Bowl. Probably more popular.
That's true. All right, I'll get you out of here. I'm wondering, you know, we were looking at the Oscar gift bags earlier. $170,000?
Yep. But if you take it, then you have to write it off on your taxes. That became a rule about a decade ago. You used to not have to count that as income. So it's about 50-50, the people that will take them and the people that won't, because it adds so much to your income.
Well, and some of the stuff is crappy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, remember that these stars are probably in the almost the 50% tax bracket if they're in California. So they're going to be spending a lot of money on taxes on things like, for instance, non-invasive LED light therapy stick for like $10,000, custom furniture for $25,000, $4,000 worth of LiPo. But you're going to pay half of that. A $1,200 bicycle,
A $12,000 glamping vacation, a train trip across the Rockies, a 9-night Italian vacation package, free Audi rentals for a year with Silver Car. Of course, the whole reason people give this stuff to these stars is exactly what we're doing.
Yes. I was going to say, you're promoting all these companies for the exact reason that they do this. The same thing for the gift suites. So you're feeding into it, Leo. You're giving them the advertising that they so desperately want.
I saw the gift suites on Entourage. That's how I know about Hollywood. I watched Entourage. Everything I know about law, I got from The Good Wife. Everything about Hollywood from Entourage. I'm a simple man. But the gift suite, like you go in this room and there's all this crap and you could take anything you want. Is that what it is?
Basically. Yeah, I mean, usually in exchange for that, then you need to do like a photo op. So it's funny because you can see that way, you know, the gift suite things, they'll take a photo of you in the gift suite and then that'll get, you know, sold around and whatnot. And some celebrities are very careful not to be seen in the gift suite because it damages their brand. And then some celebrities don't care.
They just want
the
free crap.
Especially the reality people, they're like all about it. They're like, oh yeah, you know, like you see the Jersey Shore people and that the Teen Mom people, like they're
bet.
Like, give it Sookie. To me, give it
Sookie
to me.
Oh, is gonna be in the gift suite.
Snooki is definitely in the gift suite. She does not care. She's like, give it all to me.
Now, last year at the Oscars, remember Ellen DeGeneres hosted, and it was a Samsung Oscar.
Yes. Particularly,
and boy, you cannot pay for advertising. Well, actually, you can. They did.
The
selfie, which apparently Ellen doesn't use a Samsung phone. She uses an iPhone because she tweeted about it later off her iPhone. But the Ellen DeGeneres selfie blew up on Twitter. She said, let's make this the most tweeted selfie in history. And I think it was. I think it still is. You've even besting the Obama record. The president's Twitter record. There you go. You got Bradley Cooper. You got Ellen. But I think Samsung, which paid for this selfie, forgot that the selfie will not actually include a picture of the camera. It's kind of a flaw in the old selfie thing. Will Samsung be back this year, or will it be Apple? If I'm Apple, I'm looking at this thinking, boy, we blew it. We should own the Oscars this year.
Well, they always buy advertising time during the Oscars. If you recall, in 2010 when the iPad came out, I think it was Steve Carell who actually came out. Well, not Steve Carell, Stephen Colbert who actually came out with the iPad in his hand. And that was, you know.
Was he paid for that?
Yes. Apple definitely paid for that. And Steve Jobs was honored, I think, that year. He was on the red carpet. But Apple usually buys advertising. And, you know, obviously they have a really strong relationship with ABC who airs the Oscars. But in terms of actually sponsoring something like that, I don't think Apple would be that overt. They tend to like to be a little more subversive behind the scenes, you know, doing in-kind sponsorships for certain TV shows, certain movies, but they buy advertising for the Oscars and most major award shows.
Apple's going to, I presume, pay for the Modern Family episode, right?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. No, I mean, I'm sure that was absolutely scripted into something, an arrangement that they made with, I can't remember what studio does Modern Family. I think actually it might be ABC who does that. And in which case it's even more synergy because again, you know, they share so many shareholders.
That's coming up this week. It's a half hour that will take place entirely inside a MacBook Pro screen, including FaceTime calls, and other video. It's actually an intriguing idea. So Apple paid for that, you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the same way they did when Modern Family had the episode that aired the day that the iPad came out. And they had the whole episode was about getting him the iPad.
Wow.
I'm curious where you heard they're paid for, Christina. Just because
Apple has said for years they won't pay for this stuff, right?
Yeah, no,
oh,
exactly.
No, they absolutely do. No, they absolutely do. You can tell at the end of shows, like they used to do Parks and Rec, and then I know that Nokia did it, and they did Smash. I remember on NBC that was one of the ones they do. They do promotional consideration
paid for by Apple Computer. They have to.
Right. Well, they provide the equipment for sure, and that was definitely reported. Which
yeah,
I guess
they provide the equipment. I don't know if they paid for the inclusion. It's probably more like they had the idea. They approached Apple, and Apple was like, "Oh, well, we'll give you all this stuff."
Here's the article. This is the article I'm reading, which came from Associated Press, says that Apple did not, in fact, pay for it. Levitan, who is the creator of the show and the author of this episode said that it was inspired by his own experience. It was Steve Levitan. It was captured entirely on iPhone 6s and iPads. Steve Levitan said the upcoming episode involved no product placement compensation to Apple and resolved from an epiphany he had during an online experience involving one of his college-age daughters. I had emails open, some websites, then my daughter showed up on FaceTime. I could not only see her, but I could see me, and there was something going on behind me, my wife or somebody. I realized on screen you could tell so much about my life, which is why, by the way, we warned Ben Thompson that we could see his whiteboard before we went on the air. It occurred to him the format would be fitting for Modern Family. So he said, now... You know, I remember.
Sure,
we've heard these things.
He has said in other places though that Apple gave all the equipment, like they gave lots of iPhones and MacBooks. So I mean, it's one of those things where it depends. I mean, if you look at the dollar value, they gave them tens of thousands of dollars worth of phones and stuff like that. So I mean, how do you want to call paying for it or not?
Totally, and they agreed to let them do this without Apple being paid or without any sort of permission being needed or whatnot. You know, they cleared all the logo usage and probably provided them expertise with shooting stuff, and they might not have paid per se, but I mean, they're certainly getting a humongous amount, especially when you consider syndication, a humongous amount of advertising.
Oh my
God. So this is, I mean, there's a quid pro quo happening here at some level. I mean, even if it's not a direct, payment exchange, I mean, it's ridiculous to think that there wasn't any sort of conversation had about this.
The AP says Apple was informed about the episode and, quote, loved the idea. Really?
Of course.
You loved it. Who would have thunk?
Apple has, I think she might have retired, but Apple had a very well-known executive that was focused on these sort of placements. Again, no direct payment, but certainly it's something that Apple is cognizant of the benefit of and has worked to cultivate these relationships. And I'm sure they're very free with equipment and expertise and things along those lines.
But
Either there's no direct payment.
Companies like Samsung are willing to pay cash hard dollars. It makes it hard for Apple, doesn't it? If they hold the line.
No, it makes
it that much more attractive.
Oh, exactly.
Okay. All right.
I mean, you can even look at what was the movie, Sex Tape, with Jason Segel, that came out last year. This was revealed in the Sony emails that the Sony executives wanted to make a script change because so much of that movie had to do with iPads and Macs. And they said, can we replace the iPad stuff in the script? Can we replace it with Sony products? And the screenwriters were like, no.
No.
It needs to be Apple products.
We use Macs.
We thought about this from the idea of an iPad. Apple cleared it. But even though it was a movie made by Sony that Sony was putting the money into, Sony could not get their own products placed in a movie that they completely produced and distributed.
You did used to see a lot of Vios in Sony Pictures.
Yes.
You won't anymore because they're spinning it. They killed the Vio.
Right.
Somebody saying that movie was Argo. Was it Argo that had all the... pictures of,
I mean, Argo had some of that too. This was actually a case of Sex Tape, though. That was
sex
actually
tape,
the
said.
One that it was revealed in the Sony email.
I missed because Sex Tape. I don't know how.
Yes, it was not a big hit at all.
That was. I remember now. I remember seeing the poster for that. What cracks me up is when you see. Sometimes you'll see a production where they obviously have Macs, but they'll cover up the Apple. You see that a lot.
Yes,
Apple that's won't pay
Apple
money.
Won't pay them because Apple won't pay them. That's what they have to do on Two and a Half Men and some of those shows. Any of the CBS shows, they have to cover up the logo. And the guy that creates Chuck Lorre, who creates, he does a Big Bang Theory and Two and a Half Men and Mike and Molly and a couple of the other ones. He always bitches in his credit notes.
Won't give me money.
He does these little blog post things at the end of his credit reels, and he complains sometimes about how Apple won't buy advertising or pay for sponsorship or whatever on their shows. He's like, oh, and I give them so much free press, and Apple's just like, yeah, we don't care. We're not gonna pay you to show our logo.
Is it fair to say Apple only pays with promotional consideration? They give product.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably it. They used to do other things, and look, we don't know how deep this goes. I would not be surprised if somehow, Apple didn't have an ad buy during this Modern Family episode.
Right.
And maybe
right.
they no, wouldn't this, have this an ad buy otherwise. You know what I mean? So that's this is where it gets tricky, because Apple can say, oh no, we didn't pay anything for this, but we bought a 30-second ad during this show that we usually don't buy 30-second ads during. So, I mean, that's where who knows? They can say whatever they want. I think there's probably more going on behind the scenes. It certainly doesn't hurt the sales team's relationship with Apple to have this sort of thing happening on the creative side.
What were you going to say, Ben?
No, I was just going to agree. Like there's when it comes to these deals, there's all kinds of levers that can be pulled, whether that be in-kind advertising on the TV show itself. It could be on any of the network's properties or magazines or anything. Like there's a lot of places where you can do deals that you're not paying for placement, or you're not paying for anything, or you're not paying for apps or whatever it might be. But there's a wide-ranging business agreement, I think is the term, or something like that. And that's certainly the case. The other thing I would add is the whole product placement thing is much more advanced and much more common in Asia. You'll see, and particularly one that's really interesting to kind of track along the rise with Samsung generally has been the general track and the rise of kind of Korean culture, whether it be music or particularly TV shows, which are massively popular all over Asia in particular. And you wonder, like, well, how these, you know, they're on these free streaming networks and they're easily accessible. And it's like, man, why are they getting pirated out? Well, if you watch the shows, there's always, almost always Samsung products featured very prominently. And that's where a lot of their money comes from is through product placement. And it's not just phones. It's also like makeup products. It's the chat apps that have had, you know, a thing going on. And it,
so like
it
Line might have product placement stickers, things like
right,
that.
Right, exactly. So there is this really popular Korean TV show that I saw a few episodes of. But it was funny because about halfway through, they suddenly started using Line to chat, which they hadn't at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And basically got popular. And then they signed this deal and suddenly they were using Line. And suddenly it was very featured. Every time they started, they didn't just go in the app. It was the screen at the beginning, can't remember what it's called.
It's interesting because that's a way also to get in the American market. Line, which is very popular in Asia, has not really penetrated America. But the chat, somebody Bleak in the chat room is saying Line is all over America's Next Model. So what a clever way to kind of raise awareness of a product in the U.S. With
very interesting. Yeah, no, and that's definitely a common tactic over here. And there was, but it's even little stuff too. Like in this show, I remember reading that it was hugely popular. Like My Love from the Stars or something like that. It's about an alien that is actually, I don't know. It was actually pretty good, I have to admit. But the main character used some makeup product that was relatively new, and like the product like doubled its sales in China. And so, I mean, like it's super effective and it's really common. And I would expect we'll probably see more of it in the U.S. Rather than less.
There's a long precedent for this. I remember, in fact, it was kind of a model for when we first started Twit 10 years ago, by the way. Our 10th anniversary is coming up in April. I told this anecdote and said we need to find advertisers like this. When MTV first started in the United States, when was that, 80s?
81.
81. You remember that, Christina, because you were four.
Was not alive.
Okay, never mind. What was I thinking? I'm so sorry.
It was August something 81. I just
but
know
she
that
knows
for some reason.
He wasn't alive, but she knows. Anyway, there was this candy that was grandma's candy. Nobody ate it. Called Mentos, and they bought a huge campaign with the launch of MTV and advertised for years on MTV. Remember Mentos, the fresh maker, which was like the weirdest ad ever. But it made Mentos a hip candy in the U.S. and it exploded their sales. So there's a precedent for this. The other precedent I'm thinking about is Kit Kat. Remember when Android 4.4 came out, Kit Kat, Google said, but no money exchanged hands with Hershey's. Yeah, right.
Except for the special advertising and packaging deals.
Yeah. We just gave that away. Yeah. All right. This is the Apple ad that's going to show tonight on the Oscars. Actually, it's kind of cool. Martin Scorsese is narrating this. Oh, wait a minute. Let me turn on the audio so you can hear Marty. The guy with the bushy eyebrows and the black glasses.
You can't do your work according to other people's values. I'm not talking about also following your dream either, right? I never liked the inspirational value of that.
So these kids are making a movie. It was their assignment with an iPad.
It's a way of trivializing the process.
And $8,000 worth of mounting gear.
As well as the successes, which could be harder to get through. I mean, if you're dreaming, you're sleeping. And it's important and imperative to always be awake to your feelings, your possibilities, your ambitions.
Cut. I like
that. Apple's a master of the soft sell, aren't they?
Passion. Yep.
Every day is a rededication. Painters, dancers, actors, writers, filmmakers. It's the same for all of you, all of us.
So without saying in the copy one word about the iPad, in fact, this is a speech completely unrelated.
Stroke is a test.
But just showing these images and creating these emotional feelings, it's brilliant.
So let the learning continue.
That's nice. So now you don't have to watch the Oscars, everybody. Saved 8 hours of your life. You know, I think what cracks me up is when you're watching a TV show and they have a computer with a Windows logo on it.
Yes.
Which does not exist.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm like, what is this? Thanks, Microsoft. You can't buy this. Whatever.
Well, we paid money and we're going to make a, it's probably a Mac with a replacement top, don't you think?
Probably. Oh, probably.
Almost certainly.
It's funny, though, on certain shows where, you know, Microsoft or Nokia will pay for certain placement, and they have those out there, but there's still a couple of straggling Macs around too, because like the production is unwilling.
Well, it's like the NFL. It's like the NFL where Microsoft paid tons of money this season to have everybody using Surface Pro, and for the first 6 months, the announcers were calling them iPads.
And they
had to train the announcers. No, it's a Surface.
They had to. Well, they also had to train them how to use them because they were hiding their iPads behind the Surfaces. They couldn't use the Surface. Oh, so they had to have the iPad hidden. They're like, okay, see, we can actually use our place on this.
That's the best advertising, isn't it, really? Which is that everybody uses it. Everybody in Hollywood uses when
right. Well, and also with Beats, you know, the fact that Bose paid all this money to the NFL and none of the athletes like wanted to wear the Bose headphones. So they had to put tape over the Beats logos. And I was talking to someone from Beats and she joked, she was like, yeah, we should sell our own tape to cover up the logos. I was like, that's actually a really good idea.
Beats tape.
You should have to sell Beats tape to cover up the logo on the network.
Hey man,
that would actually be genius.
If you're an NFL player and you can't wear your Beats headphones, we've got special Beats tape just for you.
Just for you. Just give it away. Be like, hey, put it on. And then you see the taped up logo and everybody's like, oh, I know what you're wearing.
It's Beats tape, man. He's using Beats tape. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with more Lisa Let me see it, the lower third, because I can only, if I can read your name, Edichico.
Yep, you got it.
What does that mean in Italian?
I don't know, to be honest.
I think it means,
I think it means
eat a bean. I think it does.
It could.
Could be.
I really wouldn't
ask
know.
Ask your mom. Businessinsider.com. Great to have you. You're going to have to shout to get heard in this panel here. We're all big talkers. Christina Warren from Mashable.com, from Stratechery, the best tech blog. Ben Thompson, you got to subscribe to his newsletter. It really, it's so brilliant. And we'll get to some of your brilliant insights. I was just telling him before the show, I saw you in the New York Times. They just kind of stuck a picture in there for Armanju writing about Google's second act. And you wrote a great blog piece about how it's going to be tough for Google to continue. Am I paraphrasing that improperly?
I'm actually happy to clarify. I thought it's one of those things where you write it, like, it's awesome that it's gotten picked up.
But the headline becomes the story.
Right, exactly. So I don't think they're going anywhere, but it's there's like, but Microsoft didn't go anywhere either. They actually kept increasing profits. But
I want to actually talk about your article. In fact, two great blog posts the last few days on Stratechery, the Redmond in Reality, which we will talk about, and there's a lot to say there, and with these fabulous hand-done illustrations, and then Apple's new market, and this is the illustration apparently that went viral on Twitter. There you go.
That might be overstating it. Like, people like the heart, I think.
I wake up in the morning and read Stratechery, just as Ben wakes up in the morning and does Twit. And, of course, there's a podcast there, Exponent, as well. We'll be back with more with all three in just a bit. But first, a word from Shutterstock.com. We love our Shutterstock subscription. We use the heck out of it. We bought the business subscription. That's 25 images a day. Everybody in the Brick House has access to it. You use Shutterstock. We use it in video. We use it in audio. Shutterstock has audio. We will use it, of course, a lot on our blog. Nowadays, visual is everything. And if you don't have a visual component to your blog post, you're kind of missing out, I think. Shutterstock is the place to get over 40 million stock photos, vectors, videos, music tracks, everything you need for your creative project. I even see, you know, now that I'm kind of aware of Shutterstock, I see Shutterstock in film credits all the time. Even major Hollywood motion pictures use Shutterstock footage. Why not? Why hire a helicopter to fly over Hong Kong when you can go to Shutterstock, get a beautiful HD video, pop it in? Shutterstock has the best royalty-free images for your website, a publication, advertisement. 48 million. Oops, I was, you know, I have to go to the Shutterstock site every once in a while to see the numbers. 2.4 million royalty-free video clips with 16,000 added this week alone. Let's see the image. 49,469,602 royalty-free stock images. They added 384,000 this week alone. Now, the key with Shutterstock is to understand the brilliant search on Shutterstock. Their search will allow you to browse your images not only by topic, but to narrow it down by color so it can match the palette of your blog, by people, having people in it or not having people in it, how many people are in it. Gender, emotions expressed. Then once you find the image you want, you can share it or save it with the Lightbox and share it with others that you're working with or keep it for yourself for inspiration. Take a look at the iPad app. Man, it is something else. It's talk about inspiration. And now they have it on Android, I'm very happy to say. Webby Award winning. It's an international company. They have customer service in more than a dozen countries, full-time customer support throughout the week. I'm a big fan. If you're looking for royalty-free images, Shutterstock.com, go there, sign up for the free account. You don't need a credit card. Just start the account, start using it, start searching, use it for inspiration, for ideas, save favorite images to a Lightbox. But if you do decide to buy all image subscription packages, you can get 20% off your new subscription, 20% off the image subscription packages when you use the offer code TWIT215. That's for February 2015. What are those, helicopters? Drones? Shutterstock.com, 20% off the image subscription package on new accounts, but you have to use the offer code TWIT215. Oh, there's the drones, quadcopters. Are they big in Taiwan, Ben? Are people using quadcopters in Taiwan?
I'm not sure. I've seen them around.
You would know. You would know. You would see them everywhere.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would imagine it's a little trickier with, yeah. I mean, all the big buildings around. But yeah. I mean, I wouldn't know. I'm a blogger. I sit at home in my pajamas.
You don't go outside. Okay. All right.
Exactly.
I have to apologize because last week I indulged in quadcopter fear-mongering. Chris has told us that was wrong. Chris, you're 17 now, yeah? 18? You had a birthday. 17. And you're a quadcopter fanatic, sort of? And then we have Father Robert, our local priest. We call him the Quad Father. He's like Mr. Drone. We have drones aplenty around here. A couple more Apple stories. I'm actually very curious what you guys think of the Apple Car story, which some say is hard to believe. I think Jean-Louis Gasset wrote in his Monday note on Monday, he didn't believe it for a minute. And yet, when we talked about it on Tuesday on Mac Break Weekly, the consensus from Andy Iannocco, Renee Ritchie was, no, Apple's doing it. They've got at least 100 people working on it. Doesn't mean you'll see it anytime soon. It might be 5 years. In fact, Apple even is saying, I think, 5 years before they could sell an electric car. Maybe autonomous even. And part of the reason that people believe this is that they're hiring people in these fields. Ben, is it reasonable that Apple's doing a car? That's crazy.
you hate to drop this line, but I think this is certainly something that Steve Jobs will not do. But I don't think that's necessarily a doesn't make it right or wrong.
Well, we have to agree now. We are in a post Jobs era at Apple. There's no question about it.
No, absolutely. You know, I think what's really I was writing about this on Monday in my update, and while I was writing it, I kind of started out with like a standard line of mine, which is that Apple is a personal computer company. That's all they've ever made, and you can trace, you know, going from the Mac to the Apple II to be specific, but from the Mac to the iPhone and the iPad, like these are all personal computers. They're just getting ever more personal and ever more, you know.
Is the watch? Does that watch fit in that?
I think so. I think the watch right now is an accessory, but in the long run, I think it, the goal is that's the hub. You know, right now the phone is clearly the hub, but in the long run, it kind of makes sense to have something on your person that is the hub. But the thing is that fit with, I mean, Jobs was passionate about the computer, like his famous, you know, the bicycle of the mind sort of thing, that the computer enables human creativity. It's this tool for people. And while I was kind of writing this at the same time that fascinating New Yorker profile Johnny Ive dropped, and which not beyond being super long and divulging a lot about Apple that we didn't know, was that made it unique. But it was also of a piece where Ive has very much become kind of the public face of Apple over the last 6 to 12 months. And what's interesting is you don't get the sense of passion for computing from Ive. You get a real passion for design.
Fashion.
And
almost.
Thinking, well, in being very thoughtful about how you make things and how you create things. And it sounds like a very subtle difference, but Apple under Steve Jobs was about computers and great design. And it's different to say you're about great design and computers. Like it matters which one is first. And it matters in a way that before I would have dismissed this rumor out of hand, because just, well, cars are becoming computers. Like an electric car is a fun, like the industry is undergoing a fundamental shift. So if there was ever a time to enter the industry, it's right now. Because when industries undergo fundamental shifts, the incumbents don't usually do very well. And so I suspect that in 15 to 20 years, the who's who of the car market are going to be very different than the who's who of the car market today. And so it's a great time to get in. And there's no question that an electric car is basically a computer on wheels. And so it there's lots of stuff that makes sense, but it's different than a personal computer that you live with. But if that's no longer like the North Star for Apple, and I think it's fair to say that it's not, that instead it's design and making great things that people that are thoughtful and people appreciate and are willing to pay for, well, then that sort of Apple, you can very much see it making a car. And then, of course, you get the details, will it be self-driving, all this sort of stuff. But it, to me, it comes back to like, what is the nature of the company? I think it's fair to say the nature of the company has changed. And again, that's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing. It's just an observation.
Christina, you say all smoke, no fire.
No, I say there's too much smoke for there not to be any fire. I'm saying that there's too many. I think there are too many controlled leaks about this for this not to be at least something they're working on.
But and Andy Inoko kind of implied this. He was reluctant to talk at all about this story, but he implied this, and he's right. The Wall Street Journal, which is where this emerged, is Apple's journal of records, the place Apple goes to leak stuff.
Yes, the Wall Street Journal and Bloomberg both.
And Bloomberg. And so it's very clear these were Apple-placed leaks, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not just that, but
the Financial Times has had a remarkable record as of late, and they were actually before the journal. And I don't know if they're...
So these are manipulations. These are controlled leaks. Why is Apple leaking this story now?
Well, probably a couple of things. One, you know, the big question everybody's having in advance of the Apple Watch launch is what's next. And so I think they're getting ahead of that story. I think the secondary.
Apple. Holy cow, they haven't even released the watch.
No, they haven't, but they've got to kind of. So I think they're getting ahead of that.
Okay, fine, but what are you going to do next?
Well, because that's exactly what's happened. That's exactly what happened. So that's getting ahead of that. And I think the secondary thing is kind of, you know, what a lot of people are making big bets on auto. Tesla is in the news a lot. Google has really kind of owned this space. And if they're really serious about doing this and if they're really serious about getting something out, whether it's a car or whether it's, you know, just working with somebody else or whatever in 5 years, starting to tell the story now, the sooner the better, I think works in their favor. It probably also doesn't hurt that it's going to put, you know, companies like Tesla under the gun a little bit, because now they're going to have have to start to defend their business a little bit, because the mere whiff of Apple being involved puts pressure on them in a way that no other company would have any pressure on them. You know, even another car maker, nobody would be really that worried. You mention Apple and all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, what about Tesla? Are they going to be okay? So I think it's a good strategic move.
I'm racking my brain because I think it's absolutely clear that these are planted leaks.
Absolutely.
Going back to earlier what we were talking about, Apple being a personal computing company, they always have been. If you think about the direction that cars, especially electric cars, are going, I mean, like Ben said earlier, an electric car basically is a computer on wheels. And like, you know, how can a computer be even more personal than something that you're sitting in or wearing? So I definitely think that if Apple feels like they can make the electric car better than Tesla and make a better experience, then they'll totally go for it. But it definitely seems kind of strange, and especially strange that it's coming out, not strange that it's coming now, but I guess somewhat sudden. But I mean, you're right. We've been seeing all of these seemingly controlled leaks in the Wall Street Journal and, you know, Bloomberg, and they've always been extremely accurate in the past. So I definitely think there's a chance that Apple is at least considering this or in the very early stages of it.
Well, and there's a more cynical take too.
I want to hear the more cynical take.
which I think has to be considered. Number one is actually this story started with a story in Bloomberg that Tesla was poaching a ton of Apple employees.
Right.
And so it's very possible. I'm kind of inclined to believe this. Again, I'm open to the possibility, but I'm instinctually suspicious of this. That this was a counter leak that ran amok.
That's the kind of thing Steve Jobs would do. I'll show you, Tesla.
Well, they got just, you know, and so that's definitely a possibility. I think it actually started with Business Insider, you know, a letter saying that, you know, it was just in response. So Bloomberg posted a story, Business Insider reported on the Bloomberg story, and then someone wrote into Business Insider saying, oh, you should see what we're working on. So give them a real run for their money.
I'll tell you what's really going on.
Right, exactly. And then
What's really, I'm even more cynical.
Well,
I'll tell you what's going on. Apple did not want to do a watch. Johnny Ive wanted to do a watch. It's all Johnny Ive and Mark Newsom love is watches. Apple did not want to do a watch. We saw the story, which is preparing you for the truth. The story which was leaked to the Journal saying the Apple Watch was going to be so much better, but we couldn't put the sensors in without killing the battery life and getting FDA approval. So we didn't. So it's really not really that great. Fact, this article even said we were racking our brain. What could we do with the watch to make it compelling? The Apple Watch is going to be a flop. Apple knows it's going to be a flop. And they are preparing the world with something else to look at. Here, look at. Don't pay attention to that watch. What about a car? Here's a car. car.
That was number two. That was number two.
I mean,
on the
it's definitely
going
to be a. Oh, sorry.
No, I was just going
to say.
Jump in, Lisa.
I mean, it's definitely going to be a first generation product for sure, which means it's not going to be, you know, as great as some people have probably expected it to be. And I mean, especially for the smartwatch category, I think people were looking to Apple to kind of show like what, you know, kind of provide an example of what a good smartwatch is and what it could be useful for, because we've seen tons. I mean, you know, Samsung's launched like what, 6 smartwatches in a year, and almost every major tech company has one, but you don't really see people wearing them that often because, you know, a lot of people think, why should I pay $300 for something that does exactly what my phone does on my wrist? It just doesn't seem like something people really want or need right now. And there's also a lot of, just in the ways that smartwatches are made, there's a lot of obstacles to overcome. Like, you know, battery life is one. Nobody wants to have to charge a watch all the time. So I think even just technically, there are still barriers that even companies like Apple are going to have to overcome. And that'll definitely be obvious in the first generation product.
I'd never bet against Apple selling a lot of product because there are so many Apple. What's the word? I don't want to insult anybody.
I
am a big Apple lover.
Devotees.
Devotees. Thank you.
There you go. There you go.
Who will buy anything that Apple poops. So,
that's very true.
This will sell a lot of units, but I think fundamentally this is not the watch Apple hoped to make. It is not a watch anybody needs to buy. And except for Apple devotees, we're seeing the story that they're making 5 million watches, which would be huge. That would be a big number of watches to sell. Now that we've seen that story from the Wall Street Journal, I guess that was also, was that also planted? How does that fit in this?
See, that's a weird one to me. I don't know. What's your take on that, Ben? Because I still question the idea of leaking that figure.
Are they trying to gin up lines? Are they trying to create, you know, pent up demand, even though there is none?
To me, that sets an unfair expectation because 5 million is more than Samsung or than any of the Android Wear ones have done to date. It's more than Pebble's done. And mm-hmm. and you're saying that that's going to be how many of these you make. If you don't do that many, does that then mean that we look at the watch as a failure? So I question why they would want that number to come out. But I'm curious to hear Ben's take because that to me doesn't feel like that came from Apple at all. That seems like a supply chain leak, but I really don't know.
It was. Actually, that makes sense.
Yeah, it probably was a supply chain leak. You can say that was also potentially a response to the day previous article about the watch functionality. So the watch functionality article came out, and then a day later, the how many Apple's going to produce article came out.
The functionality article is the one I was referring to where it said they had hoped to do so much more, but not.
Right, exactly. And I think my second cynical take was exactly what you said. That's
even more cynical. That's like really cynical.
Well, it's that the car rumor is intended to overshadow the watch. My position on the watch, which again, you know, obviously no one has used, is I believe in broad strokes that a watch makes sense. I think that people in tech serially underestimate small conveniences. Given the fact that I think the watch makes sense, and I think Apple deserves the benefit of the doubt, quite frankly, given the last 15 years, I'm inclined to assume it is what they intended, and it's going to be successful until I'm proven otherwise. And I'm open being proven otherwise.
That's a safe bet. I've learned not to bet against Apple.
I think it's going to be a hit. I think it's going to be a hit. I don't think it's obviously going to be as big as the iPhone or the iPad, but I think it's going to be successful. And I think that the fact that they are approaching it the same way you would approach jewelry is a really smart move because to me, that's been the fundamental area where all the other smartwatches have failed.
We're all going to buy an Apple Watch. Let's face it.
We are all going to. Well, of course we are. But the thing is that I think the problem that the other smartwatches have made is they've basically just targeted the tech user and then tried to kind of force other people in. And everybody's like, well, but this is ugly. And is this convenience really worth it? You make something that's attractive. You make something that feels like a luxury item. You make something that's accessorizable and extensible with the different bands. And you can pull in a different class of user. And then at that point, I don't think that having all those sensors even matters. I think if it does enough and if it doesn't impact the battery, people will like it. You can always save more stuff for future iterations. I actually kind of looked at the story that, this doesn't do everything we want. That to me didn't even strike me as being an internal leak. That seemed almost like an opposite story. To me, it was almost like, well, maybe at one point, an early iteration on the drawing table said we would like to do all these things, but Apple realized correctly that this would be too much for a first-gen product. I mean, I think everybody who buys this thing is going to know either they're going to be a watch person who is buying it for the fashion aspect, or they're going to be, you know, kind of a techie Apple person who realizes, yeah, it's a first gen Apple product. You're better off waiting.
I don't care because
you're right, but I don't care because I want it because it's now a status symbol. And especially in Asia, I mean, I know Ben can talk to this more, but especially in Asia, it's going to become, I think, so much of a status symbol and so much of that sort of piece of fashion and a fashion accessory, both a fashion and tech accessory, that they can, you know, sell, you know, millions of them potentially just on the cachet alone.
Yeah, and Apple is also really the only company that's kind of marketing it as more of a watch than like a piece of technology, like Christina was saying. Because I mean, if you think about it, like even all the different models and types that they offer, you know, stainless steel, sport, like rose gold, like all of these different editions, that's the kind of customization you would see if you were buying watches. You know, meanwhile, other competitors are maybe offering like two or three different colors, but you know, not really different materials and like
I'm more interested in
the uncomfortable.
I'm more interested in the band than I am in the watch. Yeah. I want to get that Milanese band. That's so you're right. It's a fashion product.
That's a really good insight, Lisa. The fact that, you know, it seems so weird at the time in the presentation that Apple started out by talking about it, you know, it's super precise and Especially, I mean, I have
all
a nice
watches
watch.
Are and precise it, now. What?
No, the nicer the watch, the less precise it is in my experience.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah. If you have to wind it, it's not precise.
But it's a good point. Is it is absolutely being sold first and foremost as a watch, right. And I don't have much to add on the fact that that's a really interesting way.
Let's get all four of you. We're going to move on. We're done with Apple. I want to talk about the most infuriating story of the week in just a second. But how many, Christina Warren? How many watches will Apple sell in the first? Let's say first quarter.
First quarter.
They made 5 million. Will they sell 5 million?
No, I mean I'm going to say 2.5 maybe.
Remembering that Pebble in its entire lifetime has sold 1 million.
Yeah. So
Android Wear in all brands, 720,000. So 2 million.
2 million, yeah.
Lisa?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I was actually thinking 2 million as well.
Okay. In the first quarter.
Yeah.
All right. Ben?
If Apple's making 5 million, I'm going to guess 5 million. Like, there's one thing that, I mean.
They know what they're doing.
Especially on the operations and supply side. So
there's no precedent for it, but you're probably right, huh?
I don't know. I mean, it's a product that is so hard. Like, it's vexed me greatly. I've written multiple articles on both sides of the topic. I thought the introduction was poorly done, but at the same time, kind of big picture, I think that there is something here, and. Yeah, I'm super fascinated to see how it goes. It's one of those things. I don't have a good handle on it.
We'll know soon, April.
Yep.
All right, chat room. It's up to you now. You're gonna have to. I'll give you my answer after I hear from the chat room. How many in the first 3 months? April. Let's say April, May, June. By the end of the second calendar quarter, which is Apple's third fiscal quarter. How many watches?
Well, remember, we're not going to know because
they won't break it out.
No, the watches in the other category. Bastard. With like iPods and
Apple TV.
So, well, you can't lose them with your bet here. Frankie the Waffle, yeah. 2 million. Number one, 4 million. Night Star and Bleak, 3.5 and 4.5 million. 5 million, 2 million, all over the place. I say they're going to sell fewer than 1 million. Fewer than 1 million. That's my prediction. No?
Oh, they'll sell 1 million the first week.
Oh, shut up. Okay, we're going to take... Oh, they'll sell that the first 2 days, the weekend. You know, you're probably right. They'll announce, we sold 1 million Apple Watches in the first weekend. And then Leo will have egg once again. I have yet to predict anything accurate about Apple in the last 10 years. I just want you to know, if I say 1 million, then it's definitely more than that.
You've gone under every time, right?
I always go under. Who has the over? Ben? Ben's got the over. All right, we're going to take... You have
for
faith.
Lack of anything else, I trust their supply chain.
Fewer than 1 million in the first 3 months. That's my prediction, folks. And thank God we'll never actually know. Our show today brought to you by Gazelle. If you've got an old Apple Watch you want to get rid of, it'll be Gazelle's the place you'll go to get rid of it. Right now they buy iPhones, iPads, even broken iPhones and iPads, other Apple products. They buy Samsung phones. They'll even buy your old BlackBerry. They'll buy your Surface Pro tablet. They'll give you cash on the barrelhead. So if you've been taking your old gadgets, when you get that new phone, you just throw the old one in a drawer or whatever, say, oh, someday I'll give it to cousin Ernie. He'll want it. And meanwhile, it's just gathering dust. You wouldn't throw $100 bills in that drawer, would you? Let him just, someday I'll give it to cousin Ernie. No, you would take that money. You would use it for something fun. You would buy your next phone. That's what Gazelle's all about. They will buy your old stuff and give you a great price. And the best part is you get that quote from gazelle.com fast and easy and guaranteed for 30 days. So you don't even have to decide right now. Get the quote. Find out. In fact, pile a bunch of stuff in. Once you decide to sell, they'll send you a box prepaid with the postage already done, and then they'll send you a check, a PayPal credit, or for an extra 5%, get an Amazon gift card. If you buy a lot of stuff on Amazon, that's a good idea. Gazelle. And now you may ask, okay, so they'll buy all this old stuff. What do they do with it? Well, the best of the stuff, they sell back to you. If you need a new gadget, you can get Gazelle certified pre-owned gadgets. They have two quality, certified like new, which is basically something brand new that somebody opened and then said, I don't want it, and sold it to Gazelle. And then certified good, that's where you can get the best price. They show some gentle signs of wear, but they work. So, and probably it's going to be in better shape than the iPhone you broke or lost. All devices, in fact, for my, I wish they'd done this when my kids were losing iPhones every few months. All devices have been put through a rigorous 30-point inspection to ensure they're fully functional. Certified pre-owned devices are backed by a 30-day risk-free return policy. So you're going to get a great price, a great product, and no risk. Gazelle. You got to try it. To sell or to buy. G-A-Z-E-L-L-E. Just find out what your old iPhone is worth. You might be amazed. You've been throwing $100 bills in that drawer. Well, I'm glad Ben's here because he can represent the voice of China. Why are you laughing?
He's gone. Well, he
the chair is empty. He must have known I was going to the Lenovo story, right? So I'll tell the story, and then when Ben gets back, you know what? His yes. 3-year-old woke up, I bet.
That must be.
Yeah. Well, he'll come back in a moment. Ben Thompson for Stratechery is not here. But good news, Lisa Edichico is here. She's from Business Insider. And, of course, Christina Warren from Mashable. This infuriated me. Lenovo, they were caught in September and didn't do anything about it till January. And now say, oh, we messed up. We made a mistake. So sorry. Here's a fix-it tool. What did they do? They put software. Now, remember, there's a huge price pressure on PC manufacturers. Their margin on consumer-grade PCs, the low end of the market, is practically nothing. You're buying an HP Stream for $200. That bill of goods is probably $200. So companies make up the difference. They make some profit by putting trial wear on your system. We've all seen how junked up Windows computers can get with McAfee antivirus. I've even had Windows PCs with 2 antiviruses on them, and all sorts of crap. But this takes the cake. Lenovo, we don't know when, but apparently started putting something called Superfish on their consumer-grade laptops. What does Superfish do? Well, first of all, what it does is incredibly annoying. It puts ads on sites you're visiting that Lenovo put there, that Lenovo makes money on. So you go to visit Twit, and you'll see ads that aren't on the Twit page because Lenovo has put Superfish on its laptop. That's bad enough. But the thing that's really infuriating is in order to do this, Superfish creates a man-in-the-middle attack. They actually break secure socket layers. They break SSL. And so they intercept not only normal web traffic, but secure web traffic using a self-signed security certificate, by the way, easily spoofed by attackers. So it opens a massive security hole on your system. And if you think when you've been using your Lenovo Y50, which was one of the devices that this was on, if you think that your conversation with your bank was encrypted and safe, or your conversation with Amazon, your credit card information encrypted safe, it wasn't. It wasn't. Lenovo put software on it that broke SSL. Lenovo said their benefit from this was minor, so that's even stupider. They should have made millions out of this. This is appalling. Security researchers have already demonstrated how attackers could use Superfish to create an attack. Lenovo says they're not yet aware of any attacks targeting customers. Doesn't matter. Now, Lenovo has responded in January. They took down the server that was doing this intermediation, and they have posted on the Lenovo website information about which products are affected. It's not, by the way, the business products, ThinkPad, ThinkCenter, Lenovo Desktop, ThinkStation, ThinkServer, and System X, according to Lenovo, are not impacted. I'm not sure I would trust Lenovo at this point in anything. And they do give you removal tools. And if you follow the link on their site, a long list of affected notebooks, E-Series, Flex-Series, G-Series, M-Series, S-Series, U-Series, Y-Series, Yoga-Series, and Z-Series, many of the machines all affected by this. A self-signed root certificate breaks SSL. It is offensive in the highest degree, and it is appalling that any company would do this with full knowledge of what they were doing. And I don't care if they've apologized and stopped it. They stopped it because they were caught. Ben, are you back? Yeah, good.
I'm back.
Am I crazy to be? My take on this is never again will I buy a Lenovo product or will I recommend it? It hurts me because I've recommended Lenovo's ThinkPads for a long time. I always thought they were great computers. What happened?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a huge Lenovo fan as well. I stepped out, but someone said that I should point out I can't speak for China because I'm in Taiwan. But
Taiwan is not China. Taiwan is not China. Leo will learn this one day.
Leo, you're gonna get an email saying that.
I know it's a big political thing. I was a Chinese studies major.
Just don't talk about it.
I know why it's an issue. Never mind. All right.
But you nailed it right at the beginning, Leo, and that was when you talked about the profit margins. You're exactly right. The average PC maker does not make a single cent on their PC. They make all their money on the pre-installed software and stuff like that. And so that's why some of them do sell PCs without anything on there. They cost more, and they cost more because they need to make money somewhere. And so indirectly, if anyone is to, I mean, obviously Lenovo is to blame, to be clear, but Microsoft shares blame here. And the reason they share blame is this, the PC market is the way Microsoft drove it to look, in that
really? There's
tons of people competing to basically on price because they've been totally commoditized. All the value was pulled out by Microsoft in the OS layer. And so Microsoft captures all the value, leaving basically the OEM makers to
Microsoft
scramble for
didn't
the, for
make the them yeah. charge yeah. less no, for their
so,
computers.
But the, no, so no, well, they I mean, did though.
Technically,
because,
we
because,
did. We demanded cheap computers.
Right. Well, that's the second point who really bears the blame is consumers, because we buy based on price. And if you look at it, yes, Lenovo was wrong. And they deserve to be excoriated for it.
Oh, I'm never. I couldn't be more upset about this.
But at the same time, like we're all depending. Basically, the market came to be that we depended on the good graces of these companies to not cross the line and go to the dark side. When in reality, all the incentives were for them to do just that. And we shouldn't, well, we should be outraged that this happened. I don't think we should be surprised. And quite frankly, we shouldn't be surprised if the same thing happens on Android, because it's the exact same dynamic going on. Google is trying to extract all the value from the ecosystem, leaving all their OEMs to compete on price. And that's why there's lots of pre-installed crap on there as well. And again, consumers, there's enough consumers that only buy based on price that this works. But there are consequences, and it's the same thing with any ad-based company that we all need to be cognizant of, is that the incentives are pointing in the wrong direction. And sure, it's fun to get great stuff for free, but you're playing with fire, and this is a very real example of the sort of fire that you're playing with.
I think it's fair to blame Microsoft for decisions they made 10 and 15 years ago that have driven the market to this place. But I do think that it's worth noting that basically, you know, Microsoft's been kind of in a position the last few years where they've known that the cesspool of adware and pre-installed software gunk that really makes the Windows experience terrible. And to a certain extent, they've actually been kind of barred from doing a lot about it. I'm not defending Microsoft at all, but they've been kind of, their hands have been tied a little bit because of the various, you know, restrictions put in place by the EU and other things with their Department of Justice, you know, trial way back, where they have a difficult time limiting the things that OEMs can do without, you know, breaking, without people saying, no, now you're, you know, stifling what the manufacturers can do to these machines. You know, there was even a period of time, I think they still do this at the Microsoft stores, where they sell machines that basically just have Windows on them and don't have adware.
Microsoft understood that people were getting a crap experience in Windows thanks to all this adware being installed by HP and others. So they created the Signature program. And in fact, Lenovo does sell computers at the Microsoft store under the Signature program. And it's plain Windows. You pay more for it.
Right. And I mean, it's absolutely, you know, to Ben's point, he's right. This is kind of the world that we live in, and both consumers, you know, it is what it is. But I'm not ready at all to give Lenovo or, frankly, Superfish. I think that a lot of the blame has been put on Lenovo without talking about the company that actually is doing this and the fact that they wrote this program that would be install a root certificate on Windows that would break HTTPS. And that company has not said anything, will not talk, kicked one of our reporters out of their office on Friday who tried to talk to them. And I think it's worth looking into how many deals do they have with other OEMs. But it opens up to me a broader question of, you know, Lenovo should not be off the hook and shouldn't be just because it's the game doesn't mean that you don't pay for the consequences. You know, the whole point is everybody's doping, just don't get caught. And if you get caught, you're going to do time for it is basically how it works.
And that's why I think we should boycott Lenovo. We should put them out of business as a very strong message, not to Lenovo, too late. To every other manufacturer, that this is the price you pay. You know, Sony got away with this, putting a rootkit on games for DRM, and they kind
of... It was music CDs.
That's right.
It was music CDs. It was even worse than a game. It was a music CD. If you put it in your computer, it put the rootkit on. But yeah.
And they got away with it. We should not have let Sony get away with it. We should not now let Lenovo get away with it. By the way, the only statement came to Ars Technica's Dan Gooden. The only statement from Superfish attributed to the CEO, Adi Pinhas. Superfish, by the way, although they have an office in Palo Alto, is an Israeli company. The statement said that Superfish is not a vulnerability. It is. There has been significant misinformation. This is his statement. Circulating about Superfish software pre-installed on certain Lenovo laptops. Software shipped on a limited number of computers in 2014. Get this mealy-mouthed adware. In an effort
I think there's an interesting point here, Leo. The last time I was on, we were talking about, I think it was when David Cameron was calling for a backdoor for law enforcement to use.
Yeah.
And I think you...
This is a backdoor!
A point we made on that podcast was... There's a lack of understanding of what that implies.
Right.
And
that's what Superfish is saying. Let me just finish this. Despite the false and misleading statements, this is Superfish CEO, made by some media commentators, me, and bloggers, the Superfish software, he says, does not present a security risk. And this is what he interprets as a security risk. Hey, in no way does Superfish store personal data or share such data with anyone. Unfortunately, in this situation, a vulnerability was introduced unintentionally by a third party. Now they're blaming someone else. Both Lenovo and Superfish did extensive testing of the solution, but it wasn't identified. This is, by the way, this is really reprehensible. This guy is now hiding behind some unnamed third party. Oh, we didn't do this. We didn't do this.
The worst part is I bet most people that own Lenovo computers, people outside of, you know, the tech world that aren't like us, don't even understand what's going on. I mean, how many people really even understand what encryption means or any of this? And it's like, it's really putting the consumer in a super vulnerable position. Because, I mean, when you think about the types of connections that are being broken, those are banking sites, those are online shopping sites. And it's just really terrible. And, it's hard to understand how and why Lenovo would even kind of let something like this happen. Because like you mentioned, it's not even like they benefited that much from using Superfish. Like, I understand that, you know, the profits on PCs are extremely small and a lot of PC makers aren't really making that much off of just sales alone. But it's not even like they're making that much money off of Superfish being on their computers.
That's what's really pathetic, isn't it?
And the fact that they've gotten caught hurts them so much because now people aren't going to want to buy Lenovo computers. So in the long run, it's totally...
A huge mistake.
Obviously, a huge mistake.
On Thursday, Superfish officials said they stood by a statement issued by Lenovo. This is Thursday. Quote, we have thoroughly investigated this technology and do not find any evidence to substantiate security concerns. Within hours, Lenovo yanked that sentence.
Yes, they did.
And their CTO said, oops, we blew it. We're sorry. It is a security problem.
Yep.
It is. Whenever you... This is a man in the middle attack.
It is.
Perpetrated on every Lenovo user.
And Lenovo makes great products too. That's the sad thing, especially, you know, for business computers like the ThinkPad line. Like, they make some of the best, you know, computers for businesses out there. And I'm sure that consumers are definitely not going to want to, you know, buy their products anymore.
What about Motorola? Lenovo owns Motorola. Does this mean
I think there's an Occam's razor explanation here, which I'm trying to get to, and that is, I suspect that, and this is why the incentive stuff matters. Like, incentives don't matter because I'm incentivized to go rob a bank, so I rob a bank. Of course, right. I know robbing a bank is wrong, and I suspect that Lenovo's CEO and CTO knows that doing this is wrong, and I don't think they were sandbagging. I actually suspect that they just did another pre-installed deal, and
that's exactly what it was.
They didn't really appreciate what was happening, and that's why I drew the connection to the David Cameron podcast. Like, there, even among people who should know, there's not really an appreciation for what security means and how security can be compromised. It's just something that people don't know about, and so I actually suspect that it was just another deal. Someone made it. Maybe someone at Lenovo knew. I actually honestly doubt it was someone that high up, because as Lisa just said, like, it doesn't make any sense to do this. It's way too high risk. For the cost. I mean, we have nationally acclaimed podcaster Lilo Port calling for
wait a minute. Well, hell, how with that? I did it on the radio show, which is heard by a lot more normal people. But wait a minute. They didn't know about the man in the middle. Isn't it wrong to put ads on a website that weren't there originally to make some money? Isn't that wrong?
It is.
That's what this stuff was supposed to do. That's the legitimate use of it.
But their explanation was terrible. We interviewed their CTO on Friday, and I can quote from that interview. Our reporter, our intern, he did a great job really pressing the guy too. And he was saying, okay, but realistically, do you think there are customers out there who'd want Superficial on their computer? And this is the jackass's answer. I think there are many customers out there who are interested in having tools that help them shop, tools that help them do what they're doing better. Whether that's specific to one user or not, that's a different story. They're still like trying to play, you know, I mean, their answer, their pat line, which is, we thought people would love this product, is such complete BS. I mean, you know, they were them. Installing this for
do
one
you want additional
reason,
ads
they got
on a
money.
Website? What do you think?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like generic PR speak, it sounds like.
Here's the answer. The answer is,
I mean, nobody wants to see more ads, especially ads that aren't supposed to be there in the first place. And it's just like, I mean, it seems really selfish on their part. They're not even really considering like the damage that has happened from this. And it doesn't really seem like they care based on their public response so far.
No, here's the answer. The answer is, which he didn't say, and because no one can say, is, yeah, we put crap on there because people are cheapskates. Like, that's the issue here. That's the underlying issue. That's why this is on there. Forget all the stuff that happened in the meantime. The issue is that people go into Best Buy or wherever, and they buy the cheapest computer. And guess what? You get what you pay for.
Yeah, but like, you know, that's the same excuse used by ISPs who do the same thing.
But that's...
won't pay us enough for internet access, so we're going to have to monetize you by putting ads on websites you visit.
Well, that's...
It doesn't make it okay.
But my point is, like, you as an industry... If you set, like, this is why incentives matter. Like, all the incentives are in place for this to happen. It was inevitable that this happened. It just happened to happen to Lenovo.
Microsoft lobbied hard to get manufacturers to support the Signature PC program to a resounding interest.
No interest flows from consumers because consumers didn't want to pay for it.
They would make computers no one would buy.
It's like people constantly complaining about airlines. You know why airlines suck? Because people don't pay for differentiation. American Airlines try to do bigger seat width. They advertise on it. Right. No one wanted to pay for it. Continental advertised on better service. They went out of business. They merged with United. Like, the reality is that we have no one to blame but ourselves. And it's very gratifying to get in our soapbox and say, gosh darn you, Lenovo, you should have done a better job. But the truth of the matter is, we brought it ourselves, and and all this stuff is on us. The loss of privacy on us, all this stuff on us, because we don't care or we're not willing to pay for it. And quite frankly, if I sound upset, it's because I am. Because when you get to things like this, this is an issue where the majority kind of rules. Like, take something like Google. Google is an unbelievable, fantastic, amazing resource. Or Facebook. Like, everyone is on Facebook. Like, I don't have a vote. Like, if I want to use these services, and even if I were willing to pay for them, I know that I could never do so because the reality is the vast majority of people don't care and don't want to pay. That's why it happened. It's why it's going to continue.
Somehow
to
Apple is able to charge a lot more for its computers and sell them. And because they charge a lot more, they don't need to do any of this chicane.
You know, because they're the only ones that make OS X.
They have an exclusive.
But here's my question, Ben. I could buy your argument a little bit, and I understand it. Yes, it is easy to go after Lenovo here, and I think we should, because frankly, to me, the problem is not so much that they did this. It's been their response after the fact. It's been the fact that even in our interview with the CTO, he still was trying to claim, oh, well, just because you could theoretically take advantage of this doesn't mean anybody has, and so it's really not a security issue. Like, they're still trying to skirt the issue, which is completely and totally, to me, the wrong way to do it, and is absolutely...
Well, it's kind of like saying... I'm poor and I can't afford a hamburger, so I'm going to stick you up. Right. Give me that hamburger. It's not his fault. He's poor.
But my question is, I mean, I could understand a little bit if this was something that they were doing, this particular program, they weren't investigating what these things were doing, if it were even some of their lower-end products. But this is basically on all of their machines except for the ThinkPad line. So we're talking about Yoga 2s. We're not talking about, you know, cheap computers. We're talking about, in some cases, Ultrabooks that sell for as much as MacBooks. So we're not talking about something where, you know, to me, it seems clear that this is even something we can blame just on them trying to keep their prices low. They were doing this across the line. But beyond that, even if you are going to do these things, don't you think that there is a responsibility, especially by, you know, the companies involved, to look into what are they doing and how is this stuff working on the operating systems they're installing it on? I mean, even if you let's say that they did want to install this, that's fine, provided it's not going to break HTTPS. To me, what scares me is that a company like Lenovo is not doing any due diligence at all to make sure that the software it's pre-installing is not breaking fundamental parts of security. And if Lenovo is doing it and they've done good things, then how can we trust no-name OEMs to not be doing things that are 10 times worse? And what does that mean for the average consumer who goes to the store and buys something and doesn't have any, you know, sense of security whatsoever to know that what I'm buying is not immediately going to be unsafe as soon as I plug it in?
I completely agree, and I said at the beginning, and perhaps my verbosity clouded that fact. Like, Lenovo deserves the blame here. Like, they screwed up. They screwed up royally. They should have copped to it immediately. I mean, I completely agree with you, Christina. I'm more making a broader point that we shouldn't be surprised that this happened. One. And two, I think this is a great example. I suspect this is a great example of the general ignorance about security and what security entails. And so if Lenovo's CEO and CTO, if we give them the benefit of the doubt and say that they didn't really appreciate what Superfish meant, why on earth should we expect our politicians to have any idea what it means to ask for a backdoor in our software? Right. So I think we're actually more on the same page. I'm just kind of pointing out an alternate thing.
And I got to say, if you're a technology company and you don't understand why putting a secure, you know, doing a man in the middle on SSL and putting a self-signed certificate on your computer is a bad thing, maybe you shouldn't be selling computers. Maybe you should be selling something else.
Yes. The bottom line is that regardless of whether or not the experience is worse because you have this, you know, bloatware or whatever on your computer, there's still an expectation that it's going to be safe, like Christina was saying, like regardless of whether or not, I think, you know, both Lenovo and Microsoft, you know, it's the responsibility of the PC makers and the people behind the software to, you know, make sure that things are safe because people don't know. It's not like somebody went to like a bad website that they shouldn't, like a really sketchy website that maybe they shouldn't have, and they caught something. Like, this is something that came with the computers out of the box that consumers had no choice in and no say in whatsoever. So, I mean, yeah, absolutely. They have a responsibility to make sure that things are going to be safe. And that whole response that like, oh yeah, someone could take advantage of it, but they, you know, maybe they haven't. So it's not technically a security flaw. Like, I mean, that's a terrible response to me because you're the one making the computer and putting the software on there. If somebody does take advantage of it, like that, it's going to be too late by that point. Why would you want to wait until something bad happens or even put your consumers at that risk to begin with?
Lenovo, by the way, is the number one PC manufacturer. So this is not some little speck. Do you think, let me ask you, Ben, do you think this is made worse? I know you're in Taiwan, but do you think this is made worse by the fact that Lenovo is a Chinese company? I mean, I think there's some suspicion that maybe this is more than just a commercial entity breaking SSL.
No, it's a fascinating question. And, I think it was actually earlier in the week, too, that it was on the flip side of the story that the U.S. government was breaking into products, unlike the firmware level. It's a really interesting question and certainly one worth asking, I think. And I think there's going to be a lot more questions on this line going in both directions. It's one of those things where both countries are super suspicious of each other and both are completely justified.
Lenovo is a private entity, though. It's not owned by the Chinese government or the Chinese military, is it?
I believe there are ties, and it's always hard to tell where one ends and the other begins. But I mean, don't quote me on that. Who knows?
Lenovo was founded in Beijing in 1984 as Legend. You may remember Legend Microcomputers. It was incorporated in Hong Kong in 1988. They acquired IBM's personal computer business, including the ThinkPad, in 2005. They acquired IBM's Intel-based server business in 2014. They are the largest vendor of smartphones in mainland China. Remember, they just bought Motorola from Google last year. I'm looking on Wikipedia just to see who owns them. But I think you make a good point that it's even, we don't know.
Well, I mean, again, it's one of those things where, I mean, I mean, just maybe just because my context of where I'm at is, right. The reality is we might sound paranoid saying this. On the flip side, There were lots of people in China being paranoid about the U.S. stuff being infiltrated. And it actually turned out according to the Snowden documents, the people who were paranoid were right.
We learned that the NSA was intercepting hard drives in the mail. And changing the firmware to turn the hard drive into a spy machine and then passing it along. Talk about a man-in-the-middle attack.
Yeah, I think it's tragic in a way. I mean, the reality is I don't think you can trust just about any computing device at this point, to be perfectly frank. And I think China is justified to be suspicious of U.S. technology, and the U.S. is very justified to be suspicious of Chinese technology. And it's too bad, because I think this suspicion hurts the U.S. more than hurts anyone else, because most of the value in technology is still in the United States. And these revelations and the fact that the U.S. is getting into this stuff is going, it has hurt business, is going to hurt business even more in the future. And I think that's to the long run detriment of the United States. And I get why it happens. I think that we're paying a much greater cost than we might appreciate. We being the United States.
Yeah. And of course, every personal electronic device you have today is made, except maybe the Mac Pro, is made in China. And even with the Mac Pro, most of the components are made in China. So if you were worried about China, forget it. That's long over. I think that regardless of the incentive that Lenovo had to do this, cheating is still cheating. Doing this is still wrong. Whether they knew or not is not to the issue. I think this is unacceptable. And I will no longer recommend Lenovo products. That's all I can say. I have to think about Motorola. I really like Motorola products.
I agree. It's unacceptable, but I guess my point is I think it was inevitable.
Well, what we may learn, and we seem to be learning a little bit, is that this is not the only product doing this. There's a product that's been getting a lot of attention called Commodia, and I think we don't know fully what's going on with Commodia. Commodia is the third party, I believe, that Superfish was referring to, and Commodia. It proudly markets HTTPS decrypting and interception software that's used by more than 100 clients, including Fortune 500 companies. So What we may be finding is that you're right, Ben, and this is not only, this is not restricted to Lenovo. This is very widespread.
No, I think that's a guarantee. I think it'll just depend on how deep it goes. But I mean, kind of to use my sports analogy I said earlier, I mean, I think that the fact of the matter is that even if everybody dopes, you know, it's the person that gets caught that becomes the example.
Right.
And that's just how it is with everything. And I just hope, I mean, I hope, frankly, all of us as journalists, you know, take a harder line into looking into this stuff. And I hope that companies start to realize, hey, you know, when we make these deals, we need to do a good job actually investigating what this stuff does, because it's no longer good enough to say, oh, well, we thought that this would be something customers would love, if you're actually, you know, impacting aspects of the security stack.
Yeah. And quite frankly, I mean, I think you kind of made this point indirectly, Leo, is that, I mean, this works hugely in Apple's favor. I mean, there's, you know, every time when these stories comes out and it's not a Mac, and you see Tim Cook making this point much more explicitly recently, including, you know, a week ago at the cybersecurity summit, like the fact that Apple doesn't make money this way makes their incentives more consumer friendly in this regard. And yeah, I get that there's an access to it. Some people can't afford it, and to have free stuff is great. And that's absolutely true. But there still is this incentive challenge. And, you know, as things do get more personal, more of our life is lived on and through computers. I don't think it's any surprise that you see Apple pushing this angle more recently.
I think this is damaging to the reputation of personal computing in general. It will further undermine people's trust of the web, of SSL, of computers. And I worry very much about the millions of people who bought Lenovo computers who don't listen to this show or my radio show, who will never know that they're running computers that have been compromised. And by the way, and thanks to Mark Rogers, who is the chief researcher over at Cloudflare and has done the research on the Commodia certificates. Commodia is in Keep My Family Secure Parental Control Software, Custodio's Parental Control Software, WebFilter from Kurapira, StaffCop, Easy Hide IP Classic, the LavaSoft AdAware Web Companion, something people install to fight adware, Hide My IP. The certificates are always weak, the private key is always bundled with them, and the password is always Commodia. SSL interception has never been so easy, hackers have at it. Terrible. So this is the tip of the iceberg. We haven't heard of the end of this one. Or buy a signature PC. But just, you know, you might want to check the firmware on your hard drive in case the NSA is compromised.
There you go.
It's hope. You know, I feel like you can't stop government intrusion because they're just too good at this. But at least we can have SSL work if our computer companies don't break it. At least I should be able to talk to my bank. Or is it just forget it? Just forget it. All right. You know what? Academy Awards coming up. Red carpet. They started the red carpet 2 hours ago. Did you know that?
They did.
The TV show starts at 2:00 Pacific. 3.5 hours before the Oscars begin. They've got, well, Joan Rivers isn't there, so it's not as much fun. But they've got the red carpet. It's going to be a lovely evening. Let's take a look. If you missed anything this week, this is a good week on Twit. Just take a look at what you missed this week on Twit.
Previously on Twit.
We brought in our very own Aman.
Mac Break Weekly.
Johnny Ive and the future of Apple, the shape of things to come.
I found it interesting that apparently J.J. Abrams like consulted with him on the design of the new lightsabers for the new Star Wars movies. That to me is like 10 times cooler than like designing the watch or designing a car.
Tech news today.
50,000. That's how many bitcoins the U.S. Marshals Service plans to auction on March 5th. The bitcoins were seized in the raid of the online black market site, The Silk Road.
I always ask for bitcoin from all my techie friends that actually hold it. I never get it. Maybe I'll just get it from the government.
I want whatever else they seize from Silk Road.
Gizwiz.
We are in Survival Gadget Month. These gadgets, they've been nice, but they haven't been stylish.
You know, you have to be careful if you have a very hairy arm.
Twit. For help with the technology addiction problem, call 1-800-TWIT.
If you were a smoker, how exactly you would do that? you know?
Come on, admit it. You know how you would do it. Let's take a look at the week ahead. Mike Elgin, what's coming up?
Coming up this week, Google's new YouTube app for kids becomes available starting tomorrow. Pebble is expected to unveil Tuesday a new version of its smartwatch. HP reports earnings on Tuesday as well. And on Sunday, 1 week from today, two big events will take place in advance of Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. HTC will roll out its HTC One M9 smartphone, and Samsung will unveil the Galaxy S6. That's what's coming up this week. Back to you, Leo.
Phone goodness. We're going to actually, Mike will be on a plane to Barcelona next weekend. We're sending Mike Elgin and a team out to a Mobile World Congress. Miriam Joar will be also there from All About Android. And before you buy, we'll have direct coverage of all of those announcements. That's exciting. And then, so not next weekend, but the weekend after, we're going to do our Mobile World Congress show, right?
Yeah, the weekend after, we're hoping to get Mike and Miriam on, and then we also have Jerry Pournelle on for that episode as well. So
maybe okay. We're going to have to figure that one out. I don't know if Jerry's going to really fit in with that group, but we'll figure it out.
Jerry was booked before, yes. Yeah. Yes.
And good news, by the way, I've been in contact with Jerry Pournelle. You know, we love Jerry. Great science fiction author, engineer, scientist, curmudgeon, the creator of the great Chaos Manor column in Byte Magazine, which was the inspiration for everything we do here at Twit. He had a stroke in December. His son was reporting about that, but he has recovered fully. He sent me an email. He says, I'm ready. I'm raring to go. I want to get on Twit. So, yay.
He also actually offered for next week, so I'll see.
We'll figure it out. We can, as long as we're talking promos, on March 1st, a week from today, Dr. Donald Schell turns 91. He is the inventor of the Schell sort, for which we all, you know the Schell sort. What would we do without the Schell sort? One of the great computer science algorithms of all time. He is still alive. He is turning 91, and there's a Facebook page encouraging everybody to send him a birthday card. So we so often talk about the very public people in the technology industry. But, you know, there's people behind the scenes like Donald Schell who've made a huge difference. So a little public service announcement. Happy birthday, Donald Schell, next week. He turns 91. Our show today brought to you by GoToMeeting, the simple way. Boy, you know, with the weather the way it is right now, I think GoToMeeting must really enjoy a spike during winter. Bad weather, closed roads, people homesick. Getting your team together for a meeting could be a logistical nightmare, but hey, you still got to get stuff done. Just because there's 18 feet of snow in Boston does not mean you cannot get your job done. Well, thank goodness for GoToMeeting. You can join a meeting anywhere from a computer, a tablet, a smartphone. You turn on your webcam. You can read the room with HD video conferencing. I mean, you really can see people's faces, their posture, their body language. You can share your screen, so it makes it easy to demo new products, explain features, review documents, give you that beautiful PowerPoint presentation. GoToMeeting, it's as simple as clicking a link and you're in the meeting. Audio, video, everything. Even if your team is stuck at home or snowed in, they can use Citrix GoToMeeting to meet with clients and coworkers online everywhere. We love it. Frankly, every meeting we hold now, we want to use GoToMeeting so that people, you know, we can just turn on the cameras if we need to. It's the quickest, most efficient way to collaborate and get your work done. And now you can try it free for 30 days, and you don't need a credit card. You don't need an offer code. Just go to GoToMeeting.com and click the Try It Free button, and you'll have your first meeting up and running in minutes. Actually, just keep this in mind. You know, Monday when you're at work and you say, oh, let's have a GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting.com. Try it free for 30 days right now. Go to Meeting. I was just looking at the Microsoft Signature Edition page. Microsoft knew this was an issue. Clean, fast, protected. I mean, they even say words that imply, you know, and by the way, no man-in-the-middle attack on these machines. No trialware, no junkware. It's it's fast. Always protected. And Lenovo is available, by the way, at the Microsoft Store. Part of the problem with this is you have to go to the Microsoft Store to buy it. It's not in any of the places people buy PCs. All right. Just thought I'd take a look. We are talking a tech with a great panel. Lisa Edichico from Business Insider. I'm still practicing. Great to have you. From Stratechery.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being here with your drums, which you still haven't played for us. But really, is that Rock Band anyway. Or are those real drums?
No, they're real. It's an electronic kit. So, I mean, you guys wouldn't really be able to hear anything anyway, even if I played.
That's even better. It's kind of funny. You watch somebody play the drums. And I went to see two bands, all women, Zepparella, which is a Led Zeppelin tribute band, with a drummer that is amazing. She was incredible. And then Hell's Bells, AC/DC tribute band. It was awesome. Do you play in a band?
No. I mean, I did in high school, but it wasn't like anything.
You just get angry once in a while and you got to pound the skins.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I want to pick something upbeat here. Spies stole the keys to the encryption castle. Omnipotent hackers tied to NSA, hid for 14 years. It's just depressing. I'm trying to find something fun. Sony. That's not depressing. Christina Warren is also here from Mashable.com. Blowback from the Sony Pictures Entertainment hack is starting. You know, Amy Lucas?
Amy Pascal.
Lost her job?
Yes.
Poor woman. She is totally a fall guy.
Oh, completely. I would be surprised if Michael Linton, who's the studio chief, I'm not sure if he's going to last or not. I mean, he might end up getting canned. They couldn't can both of them right now. She still technically is with the studio. They gave her her own shingle, kind of golden parachute, where she gets a number of people under her, a few pictures a year. And
it's not her fault. Email saying Angelina Jolie was a hack. That probably wasn't
there. It is
her fault.
Like,
it is her fault. She was in charge. Like,
wait a minute! You're going to let Lenovo off the hook because we wanted cheap PCs, but you're not going to. But you're going to put Amy Pascal.
No,
I am
not letting Lenovo. I am not letting Lenovo off the hook, and I'm sorry I wasn't strenuous about that. Like Lenovo deserves blame, okay. And I completely agree with.
But
Christina,
we share some of the blame. You're saying.
I'm just saying there's a systematic issue here, okay. And quite frankly, there's a systematic issue when it comes to company security as well.
Yeah.
Like the problem with security is it's very hard and it's very expensive. And the benefits of a good security policy is that nothing happens. And that's really hard to value. Flip side, though, the money you pay for security goes right to the bottom line,
right?
As in it decreases the bottom line.
You get nothing for it, and that's what you wanted.
Right, exactly. So the incentives for an executive who needs to make a certain number is to deprioritize security. And so really, we should be glad that she's being held to account. And we should cheer for the
Lenovo CEO to be held to account.
She's the fall guy. Here's the thing. Ironically, I mean, Ben is sort of right. But the truth of the matter is that if Sony had a better year and if their films had done better, then her job would have been secure. So, I mean, honestly, that's really what it comes down to. The fact of the matter is that Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man 2 was a flop. The studio had lost money quarter after quarter, even before the debacle with the interview. That wasn't looking like that was going to be the hit that it needed to be. Her job was frankly already in jeopardy when it was going to come up for her renewal. I think in June, they just decided to can her early and she could take the fall. The big question will be, does Michael Linton, who's actually in charge, does he get fired or not? I think at this point, as the CEO of Sony is probably a little bit reticent to get rid of everybody who's running things. But as people in the chat said, you know, she fell upward. She is taking it quite well. You know, she's an adult. This is Hollywood. Sort of thing happens. And this is not the first time, you know, that studio executives have had these sort of issues. She'd held the post for a really long time. She knew. Absolutely. She knew that as soon as the Rudin emails were leaked, she knew that she was going to become the fall
person. So she didn't write that Angelina Jolie was talentless. Rudin wrote that?
Scott Rudin, who works with them but does not work for Sony, was the one who wrote that. And then she actually defended Angelina a little bit, but that was, you know, she and Scott Rudin have had a long friendship, and as I can attest, having gone through all those emails,
it's what you write. It's what people write in their email.
But even that one, to be fair, that one got back to Michael Linton, and even he emailed both of them and said, I cannot believe that you two would put this in email. What is wrong with you?
What is wrong
even with he you? Was like, and this is before the hack. even Michael Linson was like, both of you should be ashamed that any of this was ever an email ever, because even he was like, this goes too far.
So Sony is having a lot of financial issues. I mean, this is a company in trouble. They had last week their big corporate strategy meeting, and some information has come out of that. They say they want to, and I think it's a good goal, increase their profit 25 times in 3 years. So that's a goal. I would like to do the same. The strategy, well, there are two things in the whole Sony world that are doing well. What do you think those two things are? You guys know.
PS4 and life insurance.
Yeah, life insurance. Actually, insurance is what keeping Sony afloat, right? They're a big insurer in Japan.
Insurance and credit cards, yes.
Camera sensors and PlayStation 4. Or 3
and camera sensors, yeah.
Camera sensors. In fact, here I have a Sony camera. Every one of our phones pretty much has Sony sensors, including the Apple phones, right? They all use Sony.
Yep.
Yep.
So they've grown there, but smartphones, they're spinning off. They already killed computing, right? They're probably going to, are they going to spin off Sony Pictures Entertainment?
Probably not.
They're going to keep entertainment.
They're going to keep that. They're going
if
to
they could
that.
Just get past Spider-Man 2, they'll be all right.
And they've got enough IP there. I mean, the thing is that the studio game is one of those games where you can be down 1 year and up the next, right. And it's a long play. Exactly.
Yeah. They have also spun off. I didn't know they had a TV business. I guess Sony Television. Yeah.
They used to be huge until Samsung ate their lunch, but they spun that off last year. Now they're going to be spinning off audio.
They're going to get rid of, is that music? When they say audio, is that music or is that the $2,000 Walkman?
Both. So the music services, I mean, that actually is technically, the label has been part of another company for a while, I think. But this is basically meaning the hardware.
But there is a streaming music business.
They did have one. They actually shut that down and replaced it with Spotify earlier this year.
On Sony, apparently. They've been shutting this stuff down for days, years.
Well, to be fair, they've had 4 streaming music services over the last few years. None of them have worked. So that's not your fault for not knowing about that.
They did forecast an operating profit for the financial year, which is, that's huge. The TV division, big money loser, right?
Huge. Well, I mean, they used to be really good at it and they make great TVs, but Samsung totally ate their lunch and they spun that off last year. So now it'll be the audio division. So it's all, they already got rid of that. So now it'll be
the TV example is interesting per our prior conversation. There was a story this week or last week where Samsung's inserting ads on their TVs.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's the same dynamics. It's like it's very difficult to differentiate a TV, which means it's a race to the bottom. And once you get to the bottom, that's when the bad stuff starts.
It's very frustrating. I bought a Panasonic Viera television for thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. And I go to the hub, the smart apps, and I get ads all over it. Not just static ads, video ads. It's extremely annoying. I paid a lot of money for you. Why are you giving me ads? And you cannot. You can turn some off, but you can't turn them all off. Now, Sony's been getting a lot of heat. Was it Sony? No, Samsung's been getting a lot of heat.
It's Samsung for the
voice
TV
thing,
right?
Now, to me, this I'm curious what you guys think, because Samsung published a disclaimer in their documentation, which you get when you buy the TV, saying, "Hey, you've got voice control. You should know that whenever you use it, the voice recording has to be sent to our servers for interpretation." Maybe a third party, Nuance, because Samsung, unlike Apple, doesn't have its own internal, voice recognition system. Nuance is a big one that's used by a lot of companies, including Samsung phones. So it'll go to Nuance where it'll be recognized and sent back. If you don't like this, you should turn it off. To me, this seemed completely reasonable. And anybody who uses Siri or Google Now, Samsung S Voice, or Cortana should know that the phone's not doing the recognition. It's always going to a server. So it seemed to me that people who were upset about that were just like, "But of course," and they disclosed it, and there's a way to turn it off. Or am I wrong? Is this a terrible, horrible Are they listening to us and spying on
us? You know what my concern is? It's not so much that they're doing any of the processing server side, because obviously I think that's
of course
fine.
They are.
And and that's how this all works. My bigger question is, where are they storing this stuff? How long are they storing it? And what are the security measures behind wherever they're storing it? That's my bigger question. Not so much what are they doing with it, because I don't actually think they're competent enough to go through all of my voice transactions and do anything
Hell no.
with it. Exactly. My bigger question is my voice someplace tied to an identifier that is then tied to my name or my address on a server someplace?
But then just turn it off. Don't use it. I turn it off anyway because
sure
it doesn't work so good.
But eventually it's going to work really well.
But don't you think Amazon Fire TV, Amazon Echo, everything's doing Connect on my on my Xbox, everything's doing this.
Well, I think Amazon also has, when you log into Amazon on the website, you can actually view your history of voice searches you've done and like delete them right there if you don't want them. So
that's nice.
I mean, yeah, that's interesting.
Can Google, do you do that? Can the Google dashboard do that?
There is a place, yes.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, right. There is a way to do it on Google as well, but at least view them. I don't know about deleting them.
It seems to me that everything is listening to us, and isn't that way I played with the Amazon Echo. I was like, I love this thing.
Oh, the Echo is the most amazing thing I bought all year. I love it.
Well, it's listening to you, Christina.
Yes, it is. Alexa is listening to me. So, my question isn't so much is it listening, it's how are they securing
what are they doing with it?
Capturing. Well, no,
but what are they getting? Come on.
Well, right, but my point is more.
Honey, do you want wheat? You want Wheaties for breakfast, or should I scramble you an egg?
Like I said, I more want to make sure that wherever it's being stored is actually being secure and that they're deleting it after a certain period of time. I don't actually think the companies have the time or the resources to go through everything I say, or that they even care that much. I'm more concerned, I guess, from any potential. The only threat I would see would be, okay, if someone hacks into their S3 account or wherever they're storing this stuff and accesses everything I've said, that might be problematic, but or at least creepy. But otherwise, I mean, the Echo to me is the perfect example of why that sort of tech works really well, because when it works, which is most of the time, it's almost instantaneous and it feels like the future.
I know. I love it.
How many cups in a quart?
Hi, Leo. She's got a great voice, too. She doesn't sound like a computer.
No, she's great.
She's my close personal friend now. My BFF. And I talk to my Xbox One all the time. I say Xbox play, Xbox pause, Xbox volume up, Xbox volume down. It recognizes me. Now, this should be creeping you out. When I come in the door, it says, hi, Leo. It sees my face. It knows who I am. That doesn't creep you out? I love it. All right. Any thoughts, Lisa? Do you have anything listening to you?
Not really. I don't have an Xbox One, so I don't have that.
How do you live?
I do use Siri occasionally, but I don't know. I'm not really into voice search yet. I feel like most of the time, if I want to look something up, I don't mind typing it in. I do think Cortana is pretty interesting, though. I remember I used it a while ago around the time that it was initially launching, and I'm sure it's better now. But I mean, I kind of like in Cortana that you can also, you know, you're not forced to use your voice. You can type if you want to, which I guess is really the same as Google now also. But yeah, I don't know. Other than like setting reminders maybe or setting alarms, I don't really use voice commands for too much.
I don't know what, maybe I'm just unaware. It doesn't bother me that Siri might have saved my utterances. I mean, everything I type in the internet is saved somewhere, I presume, right?
Well, I mean, the government's listening anyway, right?
Yeah. Hey, NSA, how you doing? Ben, you live in Taiwan. That's
really
not China.
Well,
are people listening to you?
Well, because I'm not in the States, I am free game for the NSA.
Oh, that's right. You're not protected.
Yeah. So that's one thing that's always kind of irked me about the whole debate. Like, everyone takes it for granted that if you're not in the United States, you don't deserve any protection. Or if you're not in the United States, you don't deserve any protections.
You're a foreigner, so we don't care.
Well,
you got no rights.
It's not just a personal thing. It's more maybe it's just a factor of living abroad and, you know, my wife's not a U.S. citizen. The whole, like, you can differentiate how you should treat people based on where they were born, I find to be a little problematic.
I don't blame you. In fact, it's something we don't talk about a lot, but we do have a few international correspondents besides you. Of course, Rene Ritchie was in Canada, and many of our, a third of our audience is outside the U.S., and all of them say, you guys keep saying, oh, it's, you know, we just have to protect Americans. The rest of you, don't worry.
Right.
We're doing a crap job protecting Americans, too, but we're trying. We don't care about you, though. That's because we're the boss. You know that. We're number one. All right. I'm not worried about Echo or anybody listening to me. If they wanted to save all that crap, they're more than welcome to it. Somehow I feel like they're not. Did Samsung assert that we were going to save everything for later use?
No. But it's unclear how much is saved and how right. often it's listening and things like
what
that.
What is it saving? It's saving my searches, my commands, big deal.
The problem with the Samsung thing, to be honest, was really, to me, I think a messaging problem. It's that their lawyers wrote, right. you know, kind of the
that's
the,
what I think
the,
too.
The language. Yep. And unfortunately, it was a lot scarier than it was intended to be. And then people look into it and people get really, you know, the conspirators come out and everybody gets creeped out. And I mean, and they can only blame themselves. You know, they were the ones who
conspiratard. I like
yeah,
that.
Conspiratard. Yeah. It's a great subreddit if you want to follow our conspiratard.
Oh,
yes.
Oh.
It makes fun of all the conspiracy theorist people. It's fantastic. It's like one of my favorite reads.
What is it about? I'm conspiratard. I'm subscribing right now. What is it about conspiracies, especially in the tech sector? People just really love these, don't they?
Well, I mean, we were arguably getting into it before with all the Apple stuff, like, oh, were they doing this leak for that?
Yeah.
Leak for that? And it's very possible that they just happened to all leak this week.
We are conspiratards.
We are conspiratards. But there's a difference when how far down the rabbit hole you get.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I think Christina was just referring to that. There's a lot of research about this, and it does appear. Sorry about all the noise. It's Chinese New Year, and there's firecrackers.
Gong hei fa choy.
Constantly.
How do they say that? They speak Mandarin in Taipei, right?
Yeah.
Gong hei fat choy is Cantonese, I think.
Gong shi fat zai.
Gong shi fat zai.
Yeah. Which happy roughly translated as like congratulations and good wishes.
Here's some money in a red envelope just for you.
Yeah, no, exactly. Which is a common misconception. People think of it being, it's a big gift giving season, so it's like Christmas. It is, but the gifts are money, which may translate into Apple products or whatever.
Is there a shortage of red envelopes right now? Because I'm told that there was because of the dock strikes in Los Angeles, that the new year will not be as successful this year in China and Taiwan.
I have no idea. That? No, I haven't seen that. So,
I'm sure I read that in a respectable journal, but I may be wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now that I'm married and have kids, I'm on the wrong side of the red envelope.
You don't get the red envelopes. So. Yeah.
No, I have to give them.
So. Oh. Did you give? How much do you give a 3-year-old?
There's like different lucky numbers of money, and you do it multiples of that.
Eight, so right? Everything should be 8.
That's a common one, but there are other ones as well. Oh. It's like any holiday we receive stuff. It's popular with the kids for sure. And
sure. I can't understand how Sony couldn't do well selling a $2,000 Walkman. That just seems like such a natural. Did you review that when that came out? Anybody, Christina, did you review that $2,000
Walkman? Pono still won't send us one of their players.
I have a Pono.
We had to buy one because they won't send us one to review.
I buy everything. You know what I bought that I really like, and I'm going to review it next week on Before You Buy, not this Tuesday, but a week from Tuesday. FIO, the company FIIO, makes a high-res player like the Pono player, but it's only $100.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Did you hear about that Sony micro SD card that's supposed to be high audio that costs 3 times as much as a regular micro SD card?
But it's better quality.
No. I mean, they claimed the digital audio
high
sound
fidelity.
Exactly.
Thank you, Sony.
Exactly.
That's no baloney.
It's like gold-plated printer cables. It's the best thing ever. They're selling it only in Japan.
Of course.
It's fantastic.
This is a cool product.
You have that in your $2,000 Walkman.
When you buy your Pono player, get this too, because it's $100. Although you have to add memory, so if you put 128 gigs in it, it's $200. Half, half the comparable Pono player, but it plays the same exact files, up to 192 kilohertz, 24 bits. And I'd love to hear a comparison of the two. This one, I think I have both, and I think this one, but I can't tell a difference. It all sounds the same to me. But I just know it's better. That's the thing. So are you excited about the M9? We just saw Mike Elgin talk about that. We expect that's starting to leak out now, the new HTC. I'm excited. I think I'll get that one. I liked the M8 and the M7, the previous HTC ones. There it is. Looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
But it'll have a Snapdragon 810, which is the new 64-bit ARM chip from Qualcomm. Lots of rumors that the Snapdragon 810 overheats. We had an LG G Flex 2 here. Miriam Joar reviewed it. Did not get hot. And I've seen some other reviews that don't say even with benchmarking, it does not get particularly hot. So I think that was not the case.
Yeah, apparently Samsung was having issues with it. Right. I guess that's why it wasn't in the S6. But that's what Qualcomm basically said on their earnings call, was that they had one large customer reporting that there were heat issues, but that none of their other customers had it. Yeah. But that was the reason that Samsung ended up dropping it from the S6, which is why Qualcomm ended up having to drop down their yearly projected earnings because of losing that.
This new M9 rumor will have the same 4-megapixel camera, but it'll be on the front this time, and on the back a 20-megapixel shooter, which would be nice. So this might be one to look at. And I'm looking at the S6 too. We'll find out more about both in about a week.
I'm honestly more excited about the S6.
Are you?
Just because it sounds like it's going to... I mean, I love the One phones from HTC. For the past couple of years,
so
they've definitely been among my favorite Android phones, for
so
sure.
So gorgeous.
But, I mean, I think Samsung kind of... You know, I don't think the S5 really went as well as they kind of expected it to. And I think they're changing a lot in order to get people kind of excited about their Galaxy phones again. And I mean, based on the rumors I've been reading, it sounds like it's going to be an awesome phone. I mean, it sounds like they're going to go with metal instead of like, you know, that glossy kind of plastic they used to use and that like dimpled back that kind of looked a little
cheesy.
Bit like a Band-Aid that they had for the S5. And we've also been kind of hearing rumors about it running like an almost stock version of Android, which would be great too.
Maybe Microsoft products instead of Samsung.
Yeah. I mean, if all of these things end up being true, I think it could be one of like the best Android phones this year, but we'll have to wait and see.
Here's everything you ever want to know about the S6. This is the Samsung Galaxy Unpacked 2015 teaser video, the next Galaxy. All the details, all the specs, everything you wanted to know about the S6 in this video.
Beauty will be powerful.
Oh, I'm buying one.
Borders will disappear.
Borders will disappear?
Reflections will be free.
Reflections will be free?
Colors will live.
Colors will what? Limp? Live?
The future will be the present.
The future will be the present. Put that in a red envelope and smoke it. They also posted on Instagram this picture. Actually, it looks like it's going to be all metal, right? Thin. And the tagline, it's not just inspiration, it's also craft. It's got to be a language issue, right? This makes no sense at all. Okay, anyway, there you go. We'll find out next week. 1 week from today. Jay Spin in our chat room says, after that video, I need a cigarette. Yeah. is there a dark horse? I mean, those are the two big phones we know, but is there a dark horse? Are we going to see a new Windows phone? Are we going to see something from Xiaomi? Are we going to see something from, LG, I guess, has the Flex now. Anything else that we're going to see?
I mean, I guess Motorola could come out with something.
Oh, yeah, we're getting a box from Motorola.
They are. We're getting a box on Wednesday, right?
On Wednesday. What is that all about?
I don't know. That was a weird email.
Yeah, I got the email. You got the email. We all got the email. It said, and then I sent a response back saying thank you, and then it said the guy's out of town.
Yes, I know. That was the funniest part, was getting the autoresponder back. I was
like, you got that too?
Yes, I did.
It's like, yeah, okay, I'd like the box. Send me the box. And they said, sorry, I'm out of town. That's kind of okay. So, Lisa, you got the box. You're going to get the box too?
Yeah, yeah.
Ben, you're not getting the box.
I have no idea what it could be. I mean, nope. It seems a bit soon for it to be like a new phone. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and find out.
It's going to, whatever it is, it's going to have Superfish on it, and that's good news. It could be headphones. Who knows what it'll be? It could be a battery. With Motorola, it could literally be a battery. It could be just something dopey.
What was that thing, the hint? The thing that goes in your ear?
I have the hint, yeah. It's her minus Scarlett Johansson. So it makes it a little less appealing, I might add. But it does sit in your ear just like that. All right. Well, Wednesday, I guess we'll have an unboxing for whatever Motorola sent us. Be nice if it was like food. Free food. Breakfast. Wouldn't that be funny if they sent you breakfast? Because it's coming between 8 and 9 a.m. Pacific time. What time is it coming on the East Coast?
Yeah, it's coming around the same time. I think it's coming between 9 and or between like.
It all has to be the same time, coast to coast.
Yeah, exactly.
It?
So I guess it's coming between like 11, like 11,
between 11
and
1. 12, I think they said for the East Coast.
So they're hoping that everybody, we will all do live unboxings.
Which, of course, we will.
I'm going to stay home. It's too early for me.
Of course, we will. I mean, we're playing directly into their hands for doing this sort of stuff.
It's good. That's good marketing.
It is. It works. I mean, you know, I'm lamenting it, yet we're going to be part of it without a doubt. So it is what it is.
Pizza Box says, and he might be right, it's a continental breakfast plus a brochure. Could be the new Moto 360. Some people are speculating a new smartwatch.
That's actually not a bad idea.
If you were going to do it, would be the time to do it, right before Apple steals all the news cycles.
Yeah, Pebble's announcing something on Tuesday as well. So, yeah, that would actually make sense.
New Pebble Watch, too, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a quick break. Final words in just a bit. Great panel. Love having all you guys on here. Lisa Etichico from Business Insider, from Taipei, Taiwan, not China. Ben Thompson of Stratechery.com. He's at Monk.
Don't even, just I'm telling you.
I know,
this,
don't even
go
bring
there.
It up. I know.
No, you're going to get Chinese people from China emailing you now. The tension definitely runs both directions.
I know. But
I have
you
no opinion
speak
on the matter.
Chinese, and it used to be part of China. He's not going to say anything. I'm trying to get him in trouble. That's so mean. All right.
At some point in the late 1800s, it was a part of China.
Yes, not anymore.
Then Japan invaded it in around 1900 or 1898.
But wasn't it it was during the Chinese Revolution, the Kuomintang moved to Taipei, right? Moved to Taiwan.
Right.
Is my history confused?
Right, but
Mao chased them
out.
It
was after the World War, it was all very fractured, and it was never really determined what happened after Japan owned it. Culturally, historically, it is a part of China.
Ooh, careful.
No, it is culturally. I mean, speaking,
right.
There's a... In many respects, it's actually very. I mean, one of the cool things of living here is because there wasn't the Cultural Revolution, which sadly destroyed a lot of the old bits of China.
The intellectuals, that
you get almost more of a traditional experience here in some respects than you might in some places in China. But I mean, China's a big country. China's, people forget, it's as big as the United States, and everyone knows that people in California are totally different than people in the South, say, or in the Northeast or in the Midwest. And it's the same thing with China. So
you live there because your wife is Chinese. Yeah.
My wife's from Taiwan. I met her here. I came here back in 2003. So the family reason for sure, but I love it. I love living here. It's a great place to live. And it's useful for what I do. So,
yeah. And I love your Instagram, which is a lot about food. And I feel like you're eating well there. Are you Monk Bent on Instagram as well, if people want to follow you?
Yes, I am. I'm Monk Bent everywhere.
He's Monk. Look at this. Look at this. This is a grill of delicious meats. I'm telling you, it's all food. This is all you ever do is like eat.
Yeah, that's a it's Chinese New Year, so lots
so good. So hungry. Oh, look at that. I don't even know what that is, and I want it. What is that?
It's called a Chinese hamburger. The Chinese word is guabao. It's basically this very spongy kind of bread with braised pork.
Oh, yeah.
And some.
We get them here, like, but they're sealed up. They're gaibao. They were sealed up, though, right?
Yeah, it's this is like all made super fresh. So it's so that one of my favorites for sure.
Looks so good. Yeah, follow Monkbed on Instagram. Really a great. It's hey, if you can't be in Taipei, you can at least live it. Look at this.
Oh, that's
smog.
China.
That's
Beijing.
That's Beijing. So,
yeah. Wow. That was one of the worst days in 5 years. I just happened to be there. It was unbelievably brutal.
Oof. Our show today brought to you by Harry's. I love Harry's. Harry's is the place to get amazing deals on the best razors you have ever used. I live by Harry's these days. Let's face it, guys. Shaving is one of those things. You see a lot of beards these days. It ain't because it's hip or fashionable. Sure, they'll tell you that. It's because they don't want to shave. It's one of those things you just don't want to do every morning, especially if you're using cheap razors. I see guys go, I almost want to stop them in the drugstore. They're buying the disposable blades. I'm going, oh, God, don't do that to yourself. But then I understand why, because you walk over to the Gillette section, and it's all locked up because it's so valuable. It's $4 a blade. Harry's gives you better blades than Gillette or any of the other big-name brands for about half the cost. That's because Harry's bought the factory. They literally bought their own razor blade factory in Germany, one of the best. They said there was two that knew how to make blades, and they bought one of them. Their engineer, because Harry's sells direct to you, they can say to the engineers, they could say, look, don't stint. Don't make those cheap disposable. We want the best steel, the best blades. They last a long time. They're super sharp. They perform beautifully. And then Harry's ships them free to your doorstep. I get my Harry's subscription every month with new blades. Start with a kit from Harry's. Now, this kit is the Truman kit, but they also have the Winston. The Winston's engraved metal handle. I have Winston's, about eight Winston's in the house. I keep buying them. The kit comes with the handle, three blades, which is a great deal, and the Harry's incredible foaming shave gel, which is really key to the experience. It softens your beard, smooths your skin. In every kit, you get the razor handle, the three razor blades, the foaming shave gel, and let's not forget the little travel holder, which I think is really, they downplay this. This is worth its weight in gold because you put that in your DOP kit, and you're not going to cut yourself when you reach in. All of this for $15. And then you get the blades every month. You're going to be very happy. It costs half as much as the Fusion you're buying in the store, and it works twice as well. There also is a new aftershave moisturizer that smells so good and protects and hydrates. You got to try it. Get $5 off your first purchase. That means $10 for the Truman set. Wow. That's a great. Oh, I guess the Truman says 20, but you take $5 is 15. Is that right? Does that say it's 25 for the Winston? All right. 15 for the Truman. So you take, that's 10 bucks now. After you use the offer code TWIT5 at checkout. $5 off your first purchase. That'll let them know you heard about it on TWIT, and you'll get a great deal. Harry's. Do not dread shaving in the morning anymore. Harry's.com, HARRYS.com. And the offer code is TWIT. It's a new one. It's TWIT and the number 5. I think we're done. I'm just looking to see if there's anything else you guys thought was a big deal. How about this one? Wall Street Journal says Trivia Crack, which I've been playing with my mom.
Such a good game.
It's you play it too?
I do. I can't help it.
It's too successful. According to the Wall Street Journal, Trivia Crack has been downloaded 130 million times. It's free. There's actually a free version and a paid version, and then they have in-app purchases, and they do have advertising in it. The most popular free download on Apple's App Store for 66 straight days. I have to say, one of the things I don't like about it is the questions are user-submitted, so they're wide-ranging. Some of them are really hard, some are easy. The app's founder is 29, Massimo Cavazzani. they get submitted 1 million new questions every day in the question factory. And only about 1,500 are added to the game each day. But I have to say, unlike other trivia games that I've played on Android and iPhone, I never get a question repeat. But the entrepreneur says it's a problem to get a million submissions a day. He says, like building a house and a million people come to help you. We only need one house. and also, there's a constant glut of questions that are basically the same but posed in different ways. How old is Justin Bieber? They get that question like 200,000 times a day. You can stop submitted that one. I wouldn't even know the answer to that. Now, it's multiple choice, so that's one of the nice things. You can always do well. I can't believe the Wall Street Journal is doing an article on Trivia Crack. I can't believe I'm mentioning it, but you know what? It's fun. Anything else to say about it? No. It's so successful, that's a problem. They don't say, which I would like to know how much money the guy has made on this thing.
Can only imagine, because they've got the paid version, they've got the free version, they've got the ads. It's a hit on both platforms. And if they're getting a million submissions a day, that's showing super high engagement.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, the question is probably not how much is he making off of it. It's what is he leaving on the table by not monetizing it as well as he could.
Oh, my God. You know, I'm only playing it because my mom insists. Speaking of monetization, I was very happy. Now, we love the Amazon Echo. But I invested $500 in Jibo. Do you know about Jibo?
No.
It's like an Amazon Echo that looks at you. and this was created by Cynthia Brazier, who is a very well-known robotics creator. This is not her first robot and researcher. They did an Indiegogo and raised a ton of money, and now they've raised another $25.3 million for the Jibo. I won't get my Jibo, even though I subscribe to the Indiegogo, until sometime late this year or early next year. Cynthia Brazil is the chief scientist, and their new CEO is a former president of Nuance. So $23.5 million for the robot. It looks at you too. See, your Echo just sits there. Jibo, it follows you as you walk around the room. Hey, speaking of following, Ben Thompson's got a new friend.
Yeah.
Aww, somebody sleepy. What's your son's name?
Nigel. So.
Hi, Nigel. Hey, Nigel. He woke up. Well, I think this is a good reason to stop. Although I do want a public service announcement from Snapchat. No.
I love this.
Please,
love
kids.
This. I love this. I love this.
Please, kids, no nudes.
I'm sure that never happens on Snapchat.
Never. The Snapchat Safety Center was launched this week, including a 6-page parents guide to Snapchat.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Keep it legal. This is from the Snapchat community guidelines. Don't use Snapchat for any illegal shenanigans, like that bong picture.
What else are people going?
And if 13, you're under 18, keep your clothes on.
Good luck with that.
Do not.
And they're saying this now after Snapchat's been out and like widely used for how long?
Now that we're evaluated at $19 billion, maybe you should stop sending.
Now they're trying to like stop the meme that it's just used for sexting. But guess what? It's still just used for sexting.
That's no, come on. I use it. Katie Couric uses it to do newscasts. She's not naked.
Right. No, and two people watch.
I know. I wonder. You got to wonder how much Yahoo paid.
Totally. But for the one-to-one sort of conversations, yes. I mean, of course.
Yeah.
It's 13, 17-year-olds sending each other messages all day. It's like, what do you think the contents are?
What else are you going to do?
Seriously, they disappear. I mean, that's the whole thing. This is great.
All right. I just that public service announcement from the folks at Snapchat. Put your clothes on, kids. Christina Warren, Mashable.com. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. Every Friday on TNT, and I know you want to run and watch the Oscars. What are you looking for this year? Anything exciting?
Well, I mean, you know,
Best Picture. It's really
Best pictures, like, it's coming down to Birdman and Boyhood. I'm going with Birdman just because I think that that's what the PGA chose, and I think that's where they went towards the end. But no, I mean it's a good year for film.
Do you that you are film girl after all on Twitter? So this is your thing.
This is my thing.
Do you do a party with like a bingo chart or votes or like do you do?
I'm usually in a pool. You know, some years we party more than others. I always live tweet the Oscars. I've been live tweeting it. Oh, this will be my eighth year.
Okay, but everybody follow Christina right now.
Yeah, but I've been like live blogging the Oscars. I think this will be like my 11th or 12th year doing that. So I it's always fun to partake in this. It's my favorite night of the year. So yay, Oscar night.
It's my favorite night of the year. I'm going to let you go to the red carpet. I think Birdman should win, and I think it will win.
Yeah, I agree.
Although I watched Boyhood the other night, and I was surprised. I really didn't expect much because Linklater sometimes is boring and slow, but this was actually really good.
So good. No, it was a great film. I mean, both of them were great. And I thought, there were a lot of great films this year. I'm still a little bummed that Gone Girl didn't get nominated for more, but I'm over that for now.
Do you think she will win for Best Actress? I know she's nominated for Best Actress.
No, Julianne Moore is going to win that, even though I think Reese Witherspoon gave the best performance. No one asked my opinion, but I think Julianne Moore is going to win.
Okay. Are you excited, Lisa? The Oscars, you got 15 minutes, time to get a couple of bacon-wrapped hot dogs. Sit down, enjoy.
I always tune in. Unfortunately, this year I kind of am out of the loop. I didn't really get a chance to see many of the movies that are nominated. But, you know, I still like tuning in just to see. There's always, I feel like there's always one movie that kind of sweeps every year. So I'm interested to see what that's going to be this year.
Here's a picture from the red carpet of Neil Patrick Harris, who is the host with his husband. What's amazing how this country has changed. That's completely no big deal. 5 years ago, it would be like, no problem. Love it. Enjoy the Oscars and Nigel. And there's nothing like having your child sleep in your lap, Ben. And I envy you. It's so sweet. Oh, where'd he go?
He's awake now.
It's great to have you all on here. Ben is at stratechery.com. That's where his podcast is. And do subscribe to his newsletter. That's how he keeps Skybow on the table and Nigel in red envelopes.
Yes.
Yeah, great to have all of you. We do Twit every Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 2300 UTC. If you watch live, you can chat with us. We love having the chat room here. We appreciate your presence there. But you could be in studio live. We have a nice studio audience today. Many of them have already left to go see the red carpet. But you can email tickets at twit.tv if you'd like to be here. Otherwise, on demand, always available. Twit.tv is our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Wait a minute. Do I have to have something to do? Anything else I have to mention? Oh, our 10th anniversary coming up. I'm already getting a lot of great submissions of logos. I don't want to show you, but we've asked the audience to submit 10th, Twit 10-year anniversary logos that we'd like to use on our website, and we've gotten some great submissions. Many more will come if you... I think what we're going to do is once I get all of them in, I'll put them in a pile and we'll have a vote. So keep those coming in. If you want the official Twit logos with the official colors, I have an Adobe Illustrator file I can send you if you email leo@leoville.com. And thanks to all the designers who've already submitted stuff. Some really great stuff. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Another Twit.
This is amazing. In the can.
Yay. All right, go watch the Oscars. Shoot, shoot.